Think of the grace of God this morning. Amen. Because of His grace, we could stand in His presence this morning. You never let go of my hand. Till I stand in heaven, fear I am. A hand that is holding me this morning. Thank you, Lord. There's a hand that covers the mountain.
There's a hand that covers the mountain.
And that fish.
Today to worship Him, never underestimate nor undervalue what it means to have the privilege to come in the house of God and to stand in His presence, then to know His word is among us. We are believers that is in agreement, that can pray the prayer of faith. Sure, we might be a needy people. Many of us might be struggling. Hardship is all around us. Some of us going through desperate times, trying times. It seems that there's such a pressure upon the age, coming down with greater intensity. Seem like you're suffocating almost, trying to snuff your life out. But the same way He was faithful to stand in the fiery furnace, to shut the mouth of the lions, to push the adversity back, to bring comfort, to let us know that this will not destroy you. You're going to come up with a testimony. We are grateful for that this morning. Blessed be His wonderful name. Amen. We serve a mighty God. We don't always understand all what we are going through. We know many times we wish that maybe even some of our lack of understanding, our weakness, our mistakes didn't get us in the place where we might be standing this morning. But because we are chosen and ordained to eternal life, this great mighty potter with His mighty hand, He knows how to put us on that wheel, mold every one of us, and bring us out exactly what He wants us to be. For it is written that all things work together for good to them that love Him and to them who are called according to His purpose. We're going to take these few moments in dedication. Precious sister was baptized a couple of weeks ago. I was giving you the testimony also of the great experience that she received from God in sovereign grace in that hospital bed. When they wanted to take the child in the hospital, and the Holy Spirit stood there in the corner, she saw that pillar of fire standing there. And then she told them, she's been a crowd, and God just spoke in her heart and says, "You will have this child." And then when they set her up, even for the operation and everything else, they couldn't find nothing wrong. Amen. She came, she was baptized, been coming for a little while, sitting there. But to see God, election and calling. Friends, let me say this. You don't have to have these things when you're Christian baptized and get the Holy Ghost. A light stood in a tree, and this little boy was packing water to make illegal whiskey for an unbelieving father, an unbelieving mother. Yeah, but this family was chosen by God to bring for that prophet to this generation to open the seven seals. And God planned the life that way to show that these things is of Him that call it, not of him that work. The purpose of God would stand according to election, even before the children are born, that God might show for the riches of mercy in the vessels of mercy. This is the Bible. This is the plan of God. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Herein is the love of God. Not that you love me, but I love you and gave my son to be the propitiation for your sins. That's what you would consider your calling, brethren. God choose the base things, the weak things, the things that are not of this world. To bring to nothing the things that are mighty, to confound the wise. There's no flesh with glory in His presence. This little boy that, by the name of Joshua, he called me this morning, wanted to have the baby dedicated today. You know, I was going to be here. And you know, it just dawned upon me, and I want to read a little scripture here. There's a couple of places out there, Judges. This is when that angel appeared to Manoah's wife. They wasn't praying for no angel. They wasn't praying that God would have all this good visitation. Common people, village people, simple life in the community. But the elected of God, foreordained. Angel appeared and talked to the woman. Woman had this experience. She would run and tell her husband what she had. How this angel appeared to her, how she had this experience. husband believed his wife, had respect to what she was saying, realized the favor of God had come to them. Think of our brother, this young man, the husband of our sister who's been baptized here, that God give him a son like that. We're born under these circumstances, him not even making a decision for the Lord as yet. But God, moving down in there, he said, then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me. She still thought it was a man until that time. And his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God, from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man which thou didst send come again to us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. He's asking, saying, God, I don't understand this. What happened to my wife? I don't understand this experience. But this is supernatural. I know what the doctor said. I know what you determined. Would you show to us? We ain't nobody. We don't even, we're not even known in our village hardly well. Would you show to us, God? What is the meaning of all this? That we shall teach us what we shall do unto the child shall be born. And God hearkened in the voice of Manoah. And God hearkened. God, here in this prayer, the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. Again, come to the woman again as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband. Isn't that nice? She ain't playing no super duper, no misprinter. She went good back to her husband all the time. Honey, you know, something's happened. Honey, you know, something's happened. I sat there, you know, God was there. He spoke to my heart. He said, so. Behold, a man had appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him, art thou the man that speaketh unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, no, let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do to him? He believed. He just come. He said, the man, he used the man. We talked to my wife the other day. He said, the Bible says, he even asked the man, well, stay and eat with us. Let's detain you. The man said, I will not eat bread with you. But he could offer a burnt sacrifice. Still, he didn't know it was a man. It was more than a man. And when he's offering the sacrifice, the man went up in the light of the flame. And he said, oh my goodness, we see God. We will surely die. And the woman said, no, honey, we ain't gonna die. You ain't gonna die. He said, you think God will accept a burnt sacrifice and a meal offering and all these things? And you think God will show us all these things if he's gonna kill us? He said, no, we're never gonna die. In other words, we have received God's favor. We would serve God. We would bless God. We'll walk in God's truth. And that's so beautiful in the scriptures there. Also it says, then were they brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed. So let us pray. Gracious Father, how good you are, Lord. In the midst of the darkness and the chaos that has struck the earth in these last few weeks, hurricanes devastating cities, homes being torn apart, Lord, children dying, families, parents can't find their children. When they find them, they wash up dead. When the water recedes from the flood, out in Haiti, they're finding bodies after bodies. Oh God, in Jamaica, children swept away, Lord, from their parents. And Lord Jesus, here we see today, Father, the mercy of God in a simple family. from a humble home, a little village. But yet, dear God, you came down in your goodness. And Lord, you were so gracious to give them such a visitation and such an experience. As they stand here today, God, as your servants, recognizing the nature of the experience, that it is according to the Bible, it is according to the word of the living God. I pray, dear God, that you would bless them today, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, let your peace come upon this little boy. Satan will rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Depart from here, you unclean spirit. Lord Jesus, as we present him to you for dedication, God, we are thankful for your grace. We are thankful for your mercy to this family. We are thankful, dear God, your God who stands here as a wall round about them. The enemy do not like what you have done for them. He feels that they don't deserve something like this. But that's your great grace. He can only see the back parts like Balaam and try to curse. But you see the gene that you put in them. You see your election, Lord. And God, because of what you foreordained, you know how to bring to pass your word. And I pray that you will open their understanding. You will deal with them according to the riches of your mercy. And this work that you have started in their lives and in their home, you will bring it, Lord, to a place where it will glorify you completely. And that their lives will be so delivered, so redeemed. And Lord, reflecting your blood and your word in the community where you have placed them, that you will receive honor and glory out of their lives. God, may you grant them understanding. May you deal with them in such a way that they see you have started a family. God, by these means, surely, O God, we know you are the author and you are the finisher. And may you bless them and may you undertake for them in every way. Equip them and like Manoah and his wife, give to them that which they need to understand. Lord, that they might raise this child for your honor and for your glory. And may their God, their hearts and minds and lives be so filled with your word and your presence. And you would cause them to submit and yield. And their God, that you will give them such an experience that you will dwell in them and walk in them. Now we bring this little boy that his name, Lord, by the very experience which they testified, God Joshua, name that you gave for him. God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that Joshua came from the tribe of Joseph, of which we are so grateful, Father. And there, God, to see how we can lead the people into their inheritance in that adoption time, placing them positionally. And Lord God, how you was a warrior of the Lord. How you told me strong and good courage. How you fought. How you obeyed and did all that Moses required. The Exodus prophet had brought him out. So let this boy, Lord, live and grow and learn and come to the place, Lord, where Father, truly his name would not just be a tactful name, but your very life would follow for your honor and for your glory. By faith now we place him in your precious blood, where we pray and believe and are assured you'd be safe and secure from all harm and all danger, ever under your watchful care, and where he can grow under divine influence as a tender plant, being pruned, being nurtured to grow up and bear fruit to your glory. Grant it, Father, we pray. Bless the father of this boy also. God, this experience has come to his wife. May today, sitting in your presence and being here, show respect to your word. Lord God, may you deal with him in a special way. As a son of God can find his place, can take that place in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would continue to lead them and guide them, the family and all your truth. They will live for you and they will walk and serve you in this dark and evil day. That you will continue to be with them and bless them and bring all your purposes and your plans for their lives to pass, that you might be honored and glorified by him. We commit little Joshua into your hands, dedicate him for a life of service, together with his mom and dad, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray today. Amen. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Praise his mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. How many are really happy to be in his presence? And the devil is just trying to end the little boy, but just rebuke the devil again. The boy just became calm. You know, his presence is here with us. Amen. If you can do that for a child, Satan is trying to hinder, who is coming to be dedicated in a life of service to him. How much many of us are trying to lay down our life on the altar, offer ourselves up, live for the Lord, purpose our heart no time to walk in obedience. The time that service is when that devil comes there, trying to push you this way, push you that way, fill your life with tension, fill your life with pressure, create things, you know, to get you all flustered, to throw you out of the atmosphere, and then begin to exploit and manipulate it to his own purposes and cause you to be so discouraged, having to seem to be living defeat, making mistakes over and over. How could this great, mighty Jehovah Eagle sweep down here this morning? Brother and driver, we need him so far from us. Lift us up. Bring us into such a place of experience where in our hearts, if we could be in that place, Lord, speak. Make my life clear. Give me direction, the Holy Spirit, in his great, mighty hands, the hands that cleanse the leper with one touch, hands that wave to the winds, and the great storm was calm, hands that point to the grave and call the dead back and see how the corruption came. In that great nail-scarred hand of the Almighty Jehovah God, he who says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and purpose his very life. Is the fruit was died to shed up life. His objective is that we might be fruitful, displaying the riches of that life. How much more he desires today, if we can desire what he desires, there could be harmony with God and man. And how many know that's what he desires? Thou will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And God can be in union with us, and heaven and earth can join together in one mind and one purpose. That you pray, Father, they may be one, as I and you are one. To bring back that oneness, that fellowship, that atmosphere, where God led man, having the prayer meetings, and through this mess of the hour, trying to work his way back to the control tower of your heart, to control your every move, your every thought, to his word, that you might be a written epistle, you might be his victory, you might be the expression, a reflection of him. Let's desire that as we pray, as we look to him, that he is faithful. We as a church have been dealt with in grace and mercy to see and to know what we should ask, what condition he wants us to be in, what he desires to do for us. Grace that all these things can be made known to us, and God will. Amen. You believe in your heart, you hold your request, and let's pray. Gracious Jesus, we thank you, Father, as we stand here in your presence today, knowing it's not by might or by power, it's not him that will it or him that run it, it is you that showeth mercy. And we realize when we can get quiet in ourselves, when we can get sincere in our hearts, when we can get focused in our thoughts, when we can be perseverant to break through every hindrance and every opposing force that tries to rub us and hinder us from being in the place where you can minister to us, where we can be sensitive and receptive to what you desire to do for us. And God, I pray that your calming influence would be upon each and every one of us. Your Holy Spirit would so go beyond the realms of the flesh and the realm of spirit. You will move the inward man into the channel of your word. That channel of communication for inspiration. That wavelength where we can be so tuned in. Our hearts and mind, that frequency. We can hear the voice speak into the inner man clearly. We can receive supernatural instructions where your word truly can become a lamp under our feet and a light under our pathway. Where truly the entrance of your word can bring illumination and give light. And the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ can move within us and lift us up far above the humanistic realm, where in the realm of revelation, sensitive, we can hear your voice. We can just speak, Lord, as servants hear it. We can truly be under your divine influence. God, we know faith comes by hearing, and that's not the hearing from the outer man, but that's the hearing that comes by divine revelation when the Spirit takes the word that is spoken and we can hear what you are saying to the church, what the Spirit is saying. Gracious God, we know if you would give us what we ask today, as we are trying to ask it so specific, we leave here different. We leave here illuminated. We leave here inspired. We leave here saturated with the Spirit. We leave here our faith reinforced and strengthened. We leave in a more focused vision. God, I stand here, but knowing that I represent all your children throughout the region that is confederate with us. Knowing, oh God, that I'm asking this for them also. For we are one. You are the one who caused us to be one. You are the one who led us to them. You are the one who caused them to be birthed by this word. You are the one who feeds us from this great revealed word message. Since you have opened up this Bible and you opened those seven seals. Then there, God, in this time of great famine, like it was in the time of Joseph when the storehouse was open, and that stored up food was being taken out to minister, to nourish, to strengthen, to save lives, because of a prophetic vision that was to save the world. So, dear God, we pray, Father, that we would receive that benefit today in reality form, and that we can leave this place closely drawn to you. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings. Let nothing hinder us today. Give us sincerity where restitutions need to be made, where separation from things need to be made, where we need to turn and walk away from things that have caused us trouble. Deal with us in places we can have depth of conviction. What we are seeing happening round about us, God, let us be sensitive. Father, realize that judgment is moving. Realize that the spirit of lawlessness, Lord, is becoming more predominant because the glory of God is departing, like it was from the sanctuary, receding, leaving, so that the entire thing can be given over to destruction. Help us to be awakened. Help us to recognize, Father, that awakening that came to Abraham when he sat there in the presence of the Son of Man, God in human flesh, saying, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? That threw him into desperation. That was when you sat in the temple mount. You went up on the Mount of Olives after, and you begin to open them seals to them. In Matthew 24, oh God, let that quickening influence be so present here today. And most of all, your leadership in what is to be said and done, knowing that that is the only thing that will bring value and meaning to this service, because as a man, I don't even know the next 2 minutes. But as God, you know what was, is, and is to come. Is nothing hid from you. And so you can speak things that will help us in days to come. That will prepare us. That will cause us to leave this place different. So we ask this today. This service will truly be to our benefit throughout this region. Around the world, where all your children are gathered. God, how we pray that you'll be mindful of them. All the disaster in Haiti. Knowing that out in that area there's many churches that I pray for. The grace of the Almighty God would be there in that land, God forsaken land, that land, oh God, that is suffering so much hardship. God, it seems that even nature has conspired, even the political dealings and all these things, the economic conditions. Lord, would you reach down your hand like you did for that man in Mexico? That time on the platform, the prophet saw him so destitute. God, I pray for your children, members of the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters. We don't have to know them by the flesh, but we know they are there, and we know that they are in need, and we know that you are God who keeps your word, and we know how you work through the body. When one member suffers, all suffers. That's what you taught us. That's why we pray this way and ask. Believing that prayer can change things. You can send your angel of deliverance. You can perform paradoxes for them. Your word might be fulfilled. Would you do it, Lord? We pray it will be urgent. Because it's a time of desperation for so many. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Praise his mighty name. Let's just open up the word a little bit. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Psalms 106. Kind of trying to get back from bearing. Had to be in Grenada and doing a different type of thing there and going through the land and more, trying to help the people with their needs. Physically and spiritually, and then trying to put some stabilizers in the ship in that rough sea over there. Then coming back and having to kind of tune back in is something, but I can see the great wisdom of God in knowing what was going to follow the convention, knowing how he changed things sovereignly in the convention. Preaching the potter, preaching the vine dresser, and this is the way he chose to talk to us. And you know, in one place he said, my name is Jehovah Nisi. In the next place he said, my name is Jehovah Jireh. In the next place he revealed his name by experience and according to their need and the condition that they were in. And the way he wanted them to see him and relate to him. And he has introduce himself to us at this time to see him and observe his methods and his purpose and the way he's working and what his end result will be to help us. And you've come that I am the potter. And he wanted Jeremiah to see that hour in Babylon was about to be destroyed. And the sealing angel was sealing up his elect, and the message of warning and judgment was moving the land. He said, go to the potter's house. Then come back in that very hour when he had thinned down his church, and even Judas was pruned off the tree there. He came to that little group. That first branch was going to be glorified in that dark hour when he was going to be come to his public rejection and public crucifixion. He revealed himself as divine dresser. Here we are walking back in these very places because this mystery Babylon is about to be destroyed, to destroy this world. They swallowed up the whole earth and became the superpower. The church that rejected the prophet's message went into captivity. Had a little elected group, individuals that God was with. Just like when there was in Moses' time and Abraham time and Joshua time, in that that hour when God said to even pray for this people. Think of it. What a time we are in, friends. You see, the only thing that keeps your sanity, keeps your faith anointed, keeps you falling with confidence, is the Holy Spirit in your life, placing you in the Word and keeping you in the rhythm. Because you know your junction, you know your change, you know the beat, you know what the symphony is. And that's the thing that's helping you. Outside of that, you'll be coming to church. You'll be kind of talking like, I'm trying to live a good life. I want someone to go good with me now. I really sincere, I want to move on. And you'll be kind of talking like a human being who's thinking you're forsaken by God, not knowing the plan, and trying to look for relief from your condition. There's another hour to get all emotional and sympathetic and disillusioned and fall apart. There's an hour under all the bombardment and under all the pressure to have confidence growing up in the Word and knowing that in your heart, if you are walking in sin, you have problems. Try to get that out of your life. If you are walking with God, have peace and know that nothing is going wrong. Amen. And even when God was in the mountain, nothing was going wrong. When God was puffing back in the blizzard, nothing is going wrong. You understand what I'm saying? When Job was on the ash sheet, nothing was going wrong. When you're immature, you fall apart under pressure. And that's why God revealed himself in a certain way so you can understand the experience. If God didn't say, I'm the potter, you can't understand breaking up the vessel and judgment and these things. If God said, I'm the divine dresser, you can't understand the pressures in your life to nail you down, to tie you, to hold you, the importance of him pulling off things and purging things out of your life. You can't understand that. But if you know you are branch in the vine, you are elect chosen in him to bear the promise of this hour, then you understand the laws to cultivate and bring that up forth. If you are to shine for his glory, you know the importance of him having empty vessels that he can fill, and vessels that won't break under the pressure of this age. And if you see a crack, you have to put it on the wheel to make sure it built, to prepared unto the good work. And the good work is not in peaceful times. The good work will be under times of persecution and hardship and difficulty. Because the last part of that ministry, where he's publicly crucified, where he was pushed to the loss, raising the sleeping saints, where he's arrested and all these things. So it is in that time. This is the making the Easter. We in the making of the Easter. This is the mixing the oil and the meal, bringing the two sticks. This is being in the prison before you come out to show his glory. This is the Gethsemane and Calvary that makes the Easter. The darkening time that the need where you're going to pull down the shades on many of you to go through the dark time to renew your strength. That's what the vine needs. The great vine needs some dark times. You get that? We have one kind here. While they are having natural over there, we have another kind here. But it's the whole earth. Amen. We need the help in our time. They need our help in their time. But that's the mystery of the body. We strengthen each other. Amen. Psalms 105, verse 16. David, yeah, I believe, who wrote this psalm. I keep saying that, but I really didn't check that. Psalms 105, verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, looking back in Genesis at the time, and expressing it with revelation that it is God who called for the famine on the land. He break the whole staff of bread. That's what's happening right now in Grenada. The staff of bread is broken. There's drought in the land. There's famine in the land. People need food to survive. Like in the time of Elisha with the Shunammite, with the widow of Zarephath. All these things. In the time of Elisha, when the man from Baal Shalisha brought just a handful of bread, that they thought wasn't sufficient for all the people, yet it was more than enough. Watch. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for his servant. He called for the famine. He broke the staff of the bread. He sent a man before them. God. God. God bringing these things to pass. Whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. That's the way he was sent. God sent him. Until the time that his word came. He had a word he was looking for to be fulfilled. He wasn't just a religious man believing in a God or believing that God exists. He had a word from that God pertaining to his life in the day he was living in. And he was looking for that word to be interpreted in his life. That's the way he lived. Until the time that his word came, had appointed time for that word to be manifested. He had the word by revelation form, but he needed that word to come into fulfillment, to be manifested. It was a prophecy, a prophesied promise. The word of the Lord tried him. He could have said, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I misinterpreted this. Maybe I should try to live a different life. He's trying to look for this to happen, which is why I end up here. I wonder if I made the right decisions. I wonder if I wasn't in deceiving myself. I wonder if I'm at a deep end, because I had nobody else living their life this way. Everybody continued to go to church, worship their idol, talk about the God in these kinds of things. Why am I crazy? Why am I looking for things, saying, God, tell me that, and that is going to come to pass in my life, and I have to live that way, and I'm making decisions that people, who even religious, telling me, you're crazy, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Look, you think you're more religious than everybody else? You think God dealing with you different than everybody else? God was dealing with him different than everybody else. How many of God dealing with the bride different than everybody else? That's right, friends. The whole world will receive, but not the elect. That means God will deal with them different. Is that right? If the foolish virgin have to go through tribulation, but not them, that means God will deal with them different than everybody else. Even the people in the same message with them, God will deal with them different. Is that right? That's right, friends. Election calling. The king sent and loosing. Even the ruler of the people and let him go free. In other words, God who break the staff of bread, God who sent a man before them, God who caused this man to suffer all his injustice from them, all of that pressure heap up for the king to go and get him speedily. In other words, I want you to catch that. Watch this scripture. Isn't that a bunch of things saying there? It's a thought of God. Because this is covering from Genesis 39 to Genesis 50. These few verses. And God is summing up the whole thing, linking it a certain way. The king sent and loosed him. Why? Because if Egypt needed him at that time, they went for him as a thing of need. Because when nobody could understand the dream, the butler said, oh God, I remember a man who knew the supernatural inside this place. They said, oh God, what party is? He said, the ganja. He said, how he get there? He said, falsely. Okay, we judicial system send him there. He said, oh God, he can help me at all. He can help me at all. You understand that? God forced the throne of Egypt to beg this man. You can help us? You can help us? You can reveal this thing to us? Even the ruler, is your Bible emphasizing? Because a point has been made. Even the ruler of the people. It was a bunch of people outside with placards saying, let him go. We stand for human rights. We know this man is sentenced a good man. I think the sentence too harsh. It wasn't that, you know. They come from the highest authority. Because that's the man who gets the dream, and that's the man who is troubled, and that's the man who interests in the kingdom. And that's the man who trying to ask all the senators. And all the magicians, all the learned men come with something. And everybody coming up with a blank tape. Everybody coming up blank. And that man doesn't say they have a gift. They get a hold of that God. Had one man in all Egypt linked up with God. Was that man in the dungeon.
Isn't it strange how God is work? If one of you in the dungeon this morning, your feet hurt with fetters of iron, and your staff of bread broken and everything else, and you feel you're suffering unjustly, why I should go through this? Look at me. I do nothing to deserve this. Does that mean you ain't the only person linked up with God? What do you think being linked up with God means you had to be on the throne? That's the man who had God favor, right there. Faith lifts you up. Faith lifts you up. Faith sees God and God's purpose. Faith sees what is necessary to the will of God. Only faith is designed to see that, nothing else. The purpose of that, no human sense, nothing. Nothing in your spirit, nothing in your body, nothing in the world that is designed to have that power and capability. But faith that God put in the soul, in God's gene, which you are that gene of God. There is an element there, something that magnetizes you to God. Something that have you coded and tuning to God. Something that have you linked up to God. To catch the will of God and to know this is for our purpose. Seeing, studying, binoculars, satellite in space, examining x-ray, nothing is designed to do that, only faith. And when faith strikes, faith didn't care. Like Job, though his skin wounds destroyed his body, yet the man first shall see God. Like Jesus said, destroy this temple, I'll raise him and treat him to come back out. Like they would have cut your head off today without a sword. Faith is move a man in a place to catch there. And let me say this, every predestinate seed come with that. That's what he packed you with. That's what he put in you that make you different come in this world. And that comes by hearing this word. And this something in the word that strikes you and you says, you catch that. And you start to walk in the next place with God. I trust he'll give it to you in the place you need, in the measure you needed this morning. He made him Lord of his house. That's what the king, God made the king do to fulfill the vision. He made him Lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. To bind his princes of pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. In other words, that king said, he ain't get caught up with prejudice. He's a Hebrew. He don't come down here. This is the Egyptian thing. No. He said, my kingdom will be more secure, will be a stronger kingdom if I could get this man's favor. And he could sit with my men, and my men can learn from him and draw from him the things that is deposited in his life. Because this man has something to get a hold of God. This man has something to reveal the future. This man has something to save a whole kingdom. When me and all the university can do it, this man has something, because this man has been favored by God and put in the earth by God for that. Every one of God's servants down through the age was that, friends. You know what? That's why there's nothing as great as when that seal opens. Until that seal opens, if one man in every age has catched that mystery, then that goes forth out of his mouth. And that's the voice of the Spirit speaking to the church in every age. May the Lord bless you and hold me every seat. Pretty hot, but I tell you, ain't nothing like in Grenada. You have trees here, you have grass. Over there, when he was there, I tell you, no leaves on the trees, no grass, no nothing. Everything dry up and drying up every day from the storm. And heat is unbearable over there. But that don't mean to say this will not make you uncomfortable. Of course, it can. But the thing is, you can shut that out by knowing, what am I doing here and why did I come here? And what does it mean to me to come? And what time are we living in? And then you see a greater purpose. You come on a higher level, and then these things mean nothing. These things only have value and meaning that we give to it. We put on, you know, tie and all these things this morning, but God would have moved the same here if we had on a t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? So it don't matter. Sometimes we suffer more because all this civilization give us all this church clothes. And we come to look like church people and so on.
which have its place and time. You understand what I'm saying? But sometimes even these things make it more difficult for you. And so you realize that all these things is just limited. It just has so much value. And that's why the kingdom of God is not wearing apparel. So sometimes you get worried. Yeah, sweating up my clothes and this. That's the only thing to worry about. If you have any worry that you're sweating too much, it's just sweating up your clothes. So if you're smart, next time Sunday, you won't wear your Sunday best. Wear your Sunday best Wednesday night. So you let civilization culture some of you to look good on Sunday morning in daylight, everybody could see you. And then you're coming Wednesday night now a little ordinary because of the week. So you put value to a day like a Seventh-day Adventist. You may condemn them for the value they put on the day, but you put a value on the day too. Because you overemphasize the day so much. So the thing is, we know that happens to you. I'm saying that to kind of help you have a little faith to take the heat. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that to lower the dress code in church. So understand me. You know, sometimes people say, aha. You know. So that's why you probably say, yeah, take what I mean and don't take what I say too, eh? But I'm saying, sweat up your clothes with Jesus, praise God. Is he giving it in any case? He wouldn't have none if he didn't give it to you, right? I mean, if you're sweating a little bit, you're breathing, you're healthy. If you're sweating, then you gotta come to prayer and pray for you. Something wrong with your body. So, thank God for that. Want to take a thought this morning and call it Joseph the Overcomer. And I have a subject in the back of my mind, which these kind of big messages coming Sunday morning, a hot building is not too always the thing that you want to do. And even as I stand here, I don't feel it, but I would want to preach a whole lot this morning, but just to talk to you a little bit. But I've been thinking about the master sculptor and his masterpiece. The master sculptor and his masterpiece. God is doing a great work right now. He's building a masterpiece. He's building up people. He's preparing a vessel for a good work. He's pulling a vine that will bear forth much fruit. He's building forth a great masterpiece to reflect his own image, so he can step into it and work through it. And so all these are pictures that help us to catch a concept of the objective of the Holy Spirit. And then when you know the objective of the Holy Spirit, you can say, oh, that's why I have to go through that. That's why it's important I don't let this distract me. That's why it's important I don't give more priority to that than I deserve. That's why it's important for me not to give this preeminence in my life and let it become predominant, but to keep this at that level and work on the things that need more cultivating. So when you don't understand God have an objective in your life and something is working to achieve, there will be no meaning, there will be no purpose, there will be no value to what you are going through. You will treat every day like, so why does that happen to me? So why did God have to go through this? And you, when you talk so, unconsciously you are confessing, you have a plan for your life. And you're not too interested in knowing God's plan for your life. And every time you see your plan being disrupted, you're blaming God, but you're trying to blame him like a diplomat. Indirectly and technically. Because in other words, you're throwing the blame on God. If you let it happen, I'll be going on to do what I want to do. But this is hindering me from doing what I want to do. And then I got suffering, because the suffering you're experiencing is not... is suffering you can't seem to let your will become fruitful. Because you planned this, you want to do this, you try to do that, and all that being disrupted. So what is coming to you, you can't put a value on that. Because you see it as of no value. Because really and truly, I will go to church on Wednesday, I will go to church on Friday, I will go to church on Sunday. And in your mind, you think of religion. We just keep our religion on those days. So, but that's not the believer. The believer knows God has called me in this age. God allotted me some time. I was born at a certain time. I was born for a certain purpose. Those he foreknew is them he predestinate. Those he predestinate is them he call. Those we call, he called you according to his purpose. You are predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And you understand that all things are working together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. And so you relate to election and calling. And once you relate to election and calling, that means everything in your life have a reason. Everything in your life is pre-planned by God even before you come here. Let me tell you, that goes so far, that shirt and that tie and that pants and that shoes, that dress and everything that you're wearing right now, that same way you come here this morning, that was foreknown, predestined before the foundation of the world. And you had to make a decision in your mind, and something influenced that decision to fulfill that thing to the very T. That man, when he passing right with him, two men standing, must have that picture on his shoulder and not in the hand. He said, you see that man with that picture on his shoulder going there? Follow that man. I ain't going to talk to him. I'm going to follow him. Follow that man. And they're watching. And they're observing. He said, go in this place. You'll see a coat tie. That coat had to be tied exactly, precisely, according to the location specified in that vision. Abraham, by inspiration, kept the fire and the knife and give the boy the wood. And here's Isaac, the beloved son, obedient to the father, who's going to die with the wood on his shoulder going up the hill. The father put all that wood on that little boy. Because Jesus Christ, who he was typing, was going to carry the cross up the mountain to die for us the same way. Exactly right. A decision on the spur of a moment right there. So there you realize how these things work in your life. And that's beautiful, because that takes the pressure off you. And when your spirit starts to get tuned in, until you don't hear no more voices. You ever try to tune something on a wavelength, in a radio? And you're hearing another little voice, another station coming through. Then you have this little green light on some of them radios. When you get on the green light, you know you're direct in the channel. See? And then you're hearing clear, you've got every other voice is tuned out. Well, a man is like a radio. Someone said, turn your radio on. Every man is a radio receiver. So turn your radio on. You can come here and have your radio lock off this morning. Well, there's something being transmitted. And the same way for you to hear this, you can sit down here and hear somebody telling you something and something talking in your mind and all that to do, and you're watching your time because you're listening to the voice in your head. You get what I'm saying? But when you get tuned in and you hear the voice of God speaking to you, and that's what that was the teacher of Elijah. He didn't move with the whirlwind. He didn't move with the earthquake. He didn't move with the fire and these things. He was waiting. He was, by the time he break through the earthquake, he break through the fire, he break through these things, all these disturbances. And then he get locked in a place, and he hear the voice, and he wrapped himself in the mantle, and he walked out in the presence of God. See? Because why? It showed he was standing on his watch. He was waiting for a transmission. He was expecting a communication from God. Isn't that like believers? You want to know God's will. You're serving him. You're praying. You're asking him. You're hearing the word. He speak to you about last month or last week. It keep coming back to you. You remember that. You write it down. Somebody said, go back to your notebook. You're home reflecting on the job or something. You watch back one or two notations. Bam, you spot it. It came back to your mind. You had forgotten it. Somebody said, open back the book and review some of your notes. And then say, yeah, I was to read that book when I go back. I didn't go and read that book. But I really have to do anything. I'll walk in with tomorrow. Now what happened there? Something trying to Holy Spirit keep you in a certain place. Why am I saying these things? Because this hour is not about book. This hour you have to hear God's voice. You have to be living God. Go here. Don't go here. Move this way. Come on that car. Take this car. Move over here. Go and build that person. That is the enemy trying to confuse you. Leave that alone. That is a trap set for you. Walk away from that. That is where the believer has to be now. The problem is you're a church, religious, program, everything, and they're trying to walk in the resurrection this way. Like a Jehovah's Witness Assembly Adventist or some Pentecostal. No. Say, I move something moved in the heart. I went aside by the tree. I spent about 2 minutes. I said, Lord, talk to me, Jesus. And then right there, it came clear to me what to do. And you have to move. That is what you need now. All the teaching is, I am come down. The seventh seal is open. I came down. I look at the picture there. That is me coming down. Revelation 10. That's the prophecy in the Bible. I have to come down. That is going to gather my bride. The elect who will not be deceived. That's open the mystery. You are one of them. That's why I changed your life there. That's why I bring in this church. Watch what happened there. Watch if you was over there. Watch if you wasn't being taught the word over here. Watch if you get tied up here. And you begin to see there's something that held your hand and guided you and brought you down. What all that is for? That is to get you to surrender now. And say, Lord, I sin. I can cooperate. I understand now. Then he comes in the Bible and he's teaching you and teaching you, building your faith. Don't be afraid of trials. I break the vessel, but I pick up even the dust. But if I say, if I know every hair on your head, I'm not going to be hurt. And everyone that falls, they're waiting for you, the prophet say. He said, honey, I ain't lose none. And because everyone numbered. Then even when the potter break, that is some vessel dust fall on the ground. Even every grain and speck of dust. Because when God make that vessel, it has so much atoms, so much molecules. And how many of the fire up in plants and all these things? All of us locked up in the permanent Enoch. You know, you know, put it in mathematics. Everything is designed. Because why? Everything has time and season. Everything about purpose, everything about lifespan, everything about process it goes through. The wheat has to come to a stalk, a tassel, a husk. It takes so much time. It has to come from March to June. We're going to ripen and all these things, and the sun is going to get hotter, and that is going to plant in certain locations, certain type of soil for it, certain type of rainfall. It needs two rains to mature it. God didn't just say wheat. God plant all that in one little grain. Because that's a Bible typing him, revealing him. That's why the Bible, every jot and tittle is inspired, not one jot and tittle shall pass away. Every word inside of there has a meaning to reveal Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it couldn't be inside of there. This is the most edited book. God himself edited this. He said, I don't need the 18 missing years here. Man, where are the 18 missing years? 18 missing years in Moses, in Abraham, in Joseph, in David. In all of them, the 18 missing years inside there. Lock up as mystery. You get what I'm saying? But man wanted to come into the carnal mind. But God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God said, come up hither. By me, I shall that your eyes be anointed to see. Pray for understanding. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. God said, be interested. Follow hard after me. Stay close to me. I'll teach you my word. I'll reveal myself to you. I'll bring you to a place where you have faith. You'll walk together with me. You and me will be the same. You'll be a little one like me. Because I'm interested in making a bunch of things. I'm interested in making little ones like me. That I call him Jehovah. He who exists with his family. He made our little one an amateur God. One like himself. A son and daughter of God. Who will have dominion in the sphere where God placed them. God said, I ain't just interested in making you. I'm interested in placing you. I'm interested in empowering you. I'm interested in using you in a certain place. And all of that, I want to make known to you that your life is a plan, is a design by the greatest intelligence. You are unique. There's no other one like you. You are special. God for his people. If God takes so much care to make the trees and the ants and the birds and all them things, put navigating things and systems in them. But a plane is getting lost in storm. Plane can't keep a radio and keep talking to the control tower all the time. Flashing light, build big airport to get in the land. You have them for ducks? Them ducks, they fly 10,000 miles. No co-pilot, nothing. Navigate by the sun, the moon, and the stars. No, the wetlands to come down and eat everything else. No, to land and take off. Could read the atmospheric pressures. They are all the built-in gauges and everything else. But if you see inside a bird cockpit, you can see, but a man bringing the cockpit, maybe there's something big like this platform here. God bringing that bird cockpit with all them same systems, don't have pinhead. Amen! And all them gauges, you know, micro mechanisms. Amen! You know, intelligence. God put it in a salmon to find the place of his origin. But it'll get thousands and thousands of miles. He bought in a creek as a little old fish. but maybe half inch long, and it grows and it goes out in the ocean, travel thousands and thousands of miles. Amen. And that salmon have a law inside of him. When that season comes, he knows time to head back. And he has something in him will lead him right back to the creek, right back to the stream, right back to the very place where he was hatched out. Amen. Which airport and control tower and radio are they getting back there? And God is saying, can't you see what you are? Can't you see what your potential are? You are fish in my ocean of life. Amen. And I, the great fisherman, like I told him, you'll not catch fish, you'll catch man. I'll make you fish as a man. Is that right? I sent a prophet out. I taught him how to first pull, how to throw the log, the second pull, set the thing for the catch, and the third pull to get them rainbow trout, them salmon. Amen. Glory. But you don't take time to see yourself. You only see man when you see how I look in this suit. The tie match, I find the shoe, I need a two-tone. I'm looking at that one, we take them, they'll get a lock away there. You know why? There's a desire to see yourself looking good. But you only think that in the body realm. The reason you have that test is perverted. That test where you see yourself look good in the mirror of God's word. To see your experience matching the word. But Satan now trying to blind you and bring it down to a carnal level. That's when you're robed with the Holy Ghost in the power of his resurrection. And you are the matching piece of the premises for the age. White robe of the Holy Ghost. Robe you because you come to the blood. You get that? You walk in a place with God, friends. You see how God designed that life. But you take it normal. You can't see that. Go back and read thirst. He said thirst is a painful desire. He said the devil have perverted all the thirst of man. Why? Because God made a thirst after beauty. Which is 2 Peter 1:4-7. Satan blocked out of the beauty of the soul. And the seven rainbow colors of his life, the token inside of you. And the character of God. Refined gold tried in the fire. Make you beautiful. Amen. And Satan hook you up over here with something. And you believe in all them scientists do. They advertise that box and say, this will remove pimples. This will get smooth skin. This will get here. And I take Brother God cosmetic kit right here. And I tell you what does get your faith beautiful. And what does get you virtuous. And what does bring your knowledge so refined. And what does make your temperance so admirable. That you, brother, no matter what kind of provocation, you behave yourself. You hold yourself together. You strive lawfully for the mastery. That's why some of them awake the seven tunnels to wake the people up. To wake them up to realize what God made man in the beginning. What he made you. He made man a son of God. He made man a little one like himself. What man fell to. He was deforming to another species. He bypassed the word and called a flesh man. All deformed by trying to work through civilization and science and education. A way that seemed right unto him. But the way to come back to the beauty was through the blood, water, blood, and spirit. God provided way, because there's only one way provided by God for everything. And 6,000 years, a man trying to work through science and civilization, what to put his hell on it. A deformed society, no character. A worldly church, but a preacher is an abomination in the pulpit. Think of it, a perverted gospel. But God will not be defeated. He said it's going to be few. But them few, when he weighed them in the scale, as when the days of Noah, they outweigh all the rest of the world here that he put in the water and drunk. And all the rest he's going to put here in the fire and burn. That little elected group outweigh them. Oh, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What a mighty God we serve, friends. What a mighty God we serve. I want you to see the hour we've come down to. I want you to feel it. I want you to be convinced of it.
It's not nothing to blow away. It's not nothing to kind of, you know, you're not kind of scared and paranoid. He said, now I know why he been speaking this. Now I know why he been dealing like this. Now I see my failure for giving heed and taking time, because I'm pressure under here now. I'm so tired, I can't operate as I should. Oh, God, help me. I made some mistakes here. I didn't sacrifice when I ought to. You were telling me to do certain things. And I'm coming to here now, and I couldn't see all this trouble. I couldn't see this pressure. I couldn't see how paralyzed and impotent I have become. I can't dash out with faith in the forefront. Why? Condemnation get in your heart. Fear get in your mind. Uncertainty take a hold of your spirit. You become double-minded and unstable in all your ways when you ought to be walking in the water. When you ought to be walking in the water, you're always a ghost of the spirit. I ain't sure I can. Or you stay too long under them voices. You open yourself to spirits. And you didn't see what spirits because you lack discernment. Because words are spirit. The seed has life. And your heart is a bedding ground. And if a man, what type of seed he sow, what type of seed you take in. Eve had to bring forth a cane. Eve had to bring forth a serpent seed. Why? She received a serpent seed. And the same womb that could bear one of Adam's seed could bear a serpent seed too. The same field that had wheat could have taken tears too. The same mind and same heart you have could receive the wrong thing. And it will, because it's a womb. The womb of your spirit. A spiritual womb. That's why many people were Baptist and Methodist and Jehovah's Witness and Catholic and Pentecostal. Why? That they receive that seed, they conform to their lives, and they live that life for a season until God has bought and root that thing up. That's right. So by now, people should understand. You have to be careful, you have to have a filter. You're going to weaken yourself. You open yourself to all kinds of demons. God said, he said, look at my people. They hew out cistern and drinking that water full of wiggle tail. When I, the fountain of living water, they won't let it drink from me. What you drink, you become. That live your, that influence your life. You think it didn't bother me, it didn't bother me. Because no young girl around you pushes yourself on you. No man putting pressure upon you to manipulate you. But then, you get up one morning, you come out and the test come. And you can't start, you ain't no end time Daniel then. You know why? Because you're defiling yourself with the king meat coming all the way down. So you have no power to shut the mouth of a liar. You have no power to handle persecution. You get that? You have to know what you're taking in, friends. You have to know what you're letting your soul feed on. A vulture that feeds on dead things. And you have to have a vulture later to feed on that. A crow could eat that, and a crow could eat what the dove eating. But the dove could only eat what the dove did. The dove can't eat what the crow eating. Because the nature and the dove inside different. You have to, these are principles. This is how the human being is made up. This is not condemnation. You have to start to learn how God made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you have to realize it's a responsibility that is put upon you for what you let get in. Many people weaken themselves because they don't see what they're doing. Like the man who's smoking. He said, I can stop this anybody already, man. But he's smoking. And he's spending money. And the advertisement against stronger influence. And he said, undermine his own time. And cancer said, eat. And everybody's genes different. So he said, I know a man. He smoked for 50 years, man, here. But his stomach hard like I ain't no leather inside it. He ain't dead yet. He still got the old hard on me in the job. Maybe he come from serpent jeans. The jeans you come from, they take too small. Can you know what happened to you? You got a rot inside. Because I lost your head. Friends, let me tell you something. This is where you don't play with the word, friends. You have to understand the word. The word is not coming about controlling people and so on, you know. The word is a light. And the word comes to give you understanding. And the word comes to open up your thinking. Because unless your thinking is really open up and your mind expands, you come to another level to start to see. You are in a world where it is full of darkness and you have no light. And you'll be easily manipulated and exploited. You'll be so deceived. You'll be thinking you're enjoying yourself while you're dying. And one morning you find someone on a dead bed and you're lost. You're trying to get back out of that hole from God and like come out of a big greasy pool. But then you come and skip back down inside it. You can't seem to climb out. And then from the time you go on the devil ground, hear this. It has something about the law. Who you obey, you become the servant of. That's a law in life. The universe is set up by that law. That's why every time Satan tries to tell Jesus, do this and give this, Jesus rebuke him and stay with the word. I'm talking about Joseph the overcomer. I'm talking about overcoming things. But before you can overcome, you have to discern things before you can overcome it. You have to know what you're dealing with. Because the age of deception, things are not what they appear to be. People who smile at you and laugh at you, that smile and laugh is a key that unlocks the doors of many hearts and minds. People who show kindness and give out a little thing here and there, those are chains of bondage, handcuffs that people put on you that can't come off of you. And many people don't see that. That's what I want to show this morning here. That Brother Joseph, in that house where he was with Potiphar's wife there. Think about it. Brother, he was like a man cage in a cage with a wild beast. A predator who's stalking him, hunting him, trying to back him in a corner to devour him as a prey. He was free when he went into prison. Because that was more torment to him to live in that house than in the prison. Now we turn the picture around to the next angle here this morning. I want you to see really, because that was the, when he came out of his father's house, the Potiphar house, the tests get different, the papers set different. You ever see, sometimes pressure from brothers is driving the woman. Women is more emotional, more sympathetic. They seem to be more understanding. They'll put up with a man more. A man will tell that man, go on from here with that man. What will the man do? Don't come in with that nonsense. A woman will not react so. Every time you say, I'm going through a hard time, she had to cry already too. You get what I'm saying? And the man wants that attention. And you say, girls, a good thing, yes? Only you understand me. Yeah, she can do more damage to he than 11 brothers. Either the test get weaker or it get greater. Either the second pull is weaker than the first pull or the second pull is weaker than the first pull. You get what I'm saying? It got greater. He was behind that persecution. But that woman was going to damn his soul in a way his soul couldn't be damned by them brothers. You get that? She was taking him into the sin of adultery that destroyed the whole world. She was taking the false union. She was making him violate the first institution of marriage. This fella proud and say, you want me? He said, your husband put me in charge. I come in, your husband, buy me off that auction block. Come down here in chains, dusty, smelling for days, different things. and he buy me off the auction block. Walk in the field out there. And he had an eye to observe me. And then he realized I ain't fit for there. I had certain qualities. And he put me here. And after a season, he put everything in my hand. He said, I have nothing in his whole estate. I don't control. I control the money. I control the property. I control the transportation. I control the labor. I control the stocks. Everything he has is in my hand. He said, the only thing he ain't put in my hand is you. Because you belong to him. He said, you are missing against this man? That's your husband. In other words, this boy had something so strong in him. The mystery of marriage and the marriage covenant and what God instituted. This man understood that in such a way that this sexy, temptress brother looked hideous. This woman who only pronounced her perfume for her most revealing clothes, coming and doing all the obscene behavior around him, could not paralyze that vision from where he was. That storm that tried to shake the house, find on a rock. Find that, like he dig deep and that thing pulled down that rock. Because he even looking shaking himself, he blew himself. And she said, he getting weak. By tomorrow, so he should collapse. Every time she comes with that, she finds resistance so strong. And she realized that spirit was searching out his inside. That spirit is not a lost hunt. If it had lost in there, I would contact it. If it had scheme inside, I would pull it out. The husband at home, he go on a trip. I tell you when he come back, I myself book the transport. He come back, it fixed. And that shuttle has only come once a week. I know we can come out to that place very good. And I know you kind of a little fearful. So what is going to happen? But I read something there, they have it in the message program that is dealing with, you know, they put the books of the anti-Nicene fathers way back there in the first century. And they have from this ancient book there some of the description of what Joseph had to endure. The Bible tells it in two verses. And she came to him, he pressed him daily, you know, to get him to live with her. And then what he said. And that's it. But he said, this thing went on agonized. And the temptress now is trying to get him, shove him away from his stand. But she's finding this man is bolted by godly principles. She's going to find out the depth of this man's conviction. This man bringing God in the matter. And her husband. In other words, he understood the things. If he go and do that sin, what he violated. This boy was between maybe about 17 and 25. Because he spent 3 years in the prison. He was 30 when he came out. He was 17 years when they threw him in the thing. So about 10 years in Potiphar's house. Think of it. By that time, he's not a little national schoolboy, you know, now he's bigger than one of the little pimples or something like the hot sun having us, right? Now he's a little strong. But athletic, the boy looking nice. And the Bible tells you that this Joseph, he was so well favored. The boy from birth had a princely way about him. He was blessed of God. He was to represent perfection. Genesis started with Adam, Genesis closed with Joseph. Perfection to perfection, friends. And you see, he was the perfect type of Christ, the second Adam. It built from Abraham in 12 all the way to him. In type. From love, from faith and love and grace to perfection. So when you look and see this thing that God had in his mind,
the master sculptor. He was going to build a masterpiece. This boy's life was ordained to be a masterpiece. This boy hewn out like a little rock in Jacob's house back there in the land of Canaan. And by the time this boy comes to 30 in Egypt, brother, he'd be so honed and shaped that he's going to come now to the place to have all his glory in Egypt, to reflect this God, that all Egypt will know that the Spirit of God is in this man. He will have a wisdom incomparable in the earth. He will save the world from the destruction. Think of it. That they will name him Zaphnath Paneah, the revealer of secrets. And they give him that name because when nobody could reveal, he was able to unlock. Think of it. And the God sent the thing so scrambled that nobody could unlock it. God himself had to give the man the inspiration to unlock what God scrambled. Send seal up. Because Pharaoh dreamed it like Nebuchadnezzar dream. It's sealed up. Like God gave John the whole book of Revelation, Daniel, the book of Daniel, the Revelation, the Old Testament. He gave them sealed up. And for all them 2,800 years, no theologian could unlock Daniel. For 2,000 years, no theologian could unlock Revelation. Until God himself come back, they'll have to take the book. Is that right? A man that the Spirit of God dwell in, step in there to speak the true sayings of God. Man will talk it in a certain way. Words are not what man wisdom could teach, but words that the Holy Ghost could teach. When the Spirit of wisdom and revelation come the last days in the church, to reveal these deep secret things to take the church out. And brother, think and see that she found principles. Because remember the last person I preached to him from today was Joseph, tried and tested before the promise. I'm speaking of Joseph, the overcomer. He was tried in the father's house and tested. Tried and tested in Potiphar's house. Tried and tested in the person's house. Come out in Egypt, tried and tested. And then he stood there in all his glory. He was in the vision. He and the vision become one. Through his suffering came the glory. Amen. And in every test he overcame, he was able to recognize the devil at every one of his tricks. He was tempted at all points and came up the masterpiece of the Old Testament. Is that right? Oh my. And what would God do? Why would God so specific with Joseph? He was typing the church in the last days. He was typing the church in the last days. The age of adoption, perfection, the mature grain, the fruitful branch. He was typing this church. He was typing of his son and daughter of God. That perfection, that seven color coat, that rainbow coat of the Holy Spirit, that God is robing sons and daughters of God, that it grow to maturity in this hour. Those. All kind of tests. Sometimes you have first that test. People questioning your revelation. That woman wasn't talking about revelation. Whether he understands the mystery of this case of Trump, okay, she's a nice, handsome young man. She could carry his spirit in the place of pleasure. She could whisper things to him. But she knows to kind of treat him like a big man when he's not yet a big man. And that is contacting inside of him the ambition and desire in young men. To try to appear to be more in charge, more in control, and more experienced than they really are. And it's only Satan inflating the ego because they want to make a good impression of your experience. Where you going to experience them? Any woman worth the salt to any young girl have she head on her shoulder to know. I inexperienced and you inexperienced. Both are we inexperienced. Both are we need to consult our dad and mom. Is our pride, is our self, is our carnality, is these things that throw us overboard because this is the flesh. We even don't understand the ways of the flesh yet. The flesh like to feel important, the flesh like to feel good, the flesh like to feel more powerful, the flesh is lie to you because the flesh is the unbeliever, like the vulture right here. In the spirit that the make believer, and the soul that the real believer. So the unbeliever, the make believer, and the real believer walking on 2 feet. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes walking on 2 feet right here. That's how people that grow up become a good pretender. People that become a big impressionist. Want to walk in that shoe and you're kind of walking. Try to hold yourself together. God have mercy. Go there and tell the barber, cut here, don't cut off that. Block that. And the poor barber say, that doesn't block there. What it is? A desire for maturity. A desire for experience. A desire to have something real. A desire to come into a place. Amen. Where you can have influence. Because that's where God made man. That's where man fell from. But God, when he made man the first time, he made him there without trial. It was a gift. It was not a victory. It was a gift. But when he fell, he's not going to come back with a gift again. He come back with victory. Character is a victory, not a gift. Everything was gift. But God is winning the battle in the hearts and minds of the elect. Can you say yes? You know why? Because the bride is getting fed up of foolishness. Her own foolishness. The bride is getting fed up of her own slothfulness. The bride is getting fed up of being sick and failing and failing and making excuse and hiding and running. The bride wants to be honest, wants to be sincere, wants to enter something real. The bride wants no more put on. The bride wants to be genuine or nothing. That's right. God is winning the battle. Yes, sir. I feel that wind like a hot iron. Amen. Tell the Holy Spirit. Get down to our soul where we are. Because see, that also is the way God makes you. That also is part of eternal life. Eternal life could be it for so long. But the genuine eternal life is that he says, see me, I stop playing church. I won't play no more church. I want something real or nothing. I want that real God. I want a God in a picture in the wall. I want God in the heart. I want to talk. I talk under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want faith. I want to bluff no faith. I don't make believe faith and sound like faith. I want genuine faith. Yes, sir. God is finding Jacob. Still working a scheme and daybreak coming. And the angel here. And still selfish. And trying to put Leah and the children here first. And then trying to put Rachel in this one here. And then trying to look for a good spot for himself. Just in case they get a lick up, he can get a back door out. Then finally when he get a hold of God, something's going to happen inside. He get a hold of something real, the prophet says. He said 140,000 will get a hold of something real. They will know this is all they think by the wailing wall. You know, all got the long thing, the long curls, and then the Jewish hat and the shawl, and all the big Bible, and walking along with all this outward thing, outwardly a Jew. When they get a hold of God, they will say, oh my, did you want Moses met? Did you want to talk to my only wife? This is the same one that come to Gideon. Did you walk back there that Elijah stood against them? And when? That's what the bride is having. When as she get a hold of him, he said, I ain't letting you go, mister. He said, I ain't letting you go until you bless me. When you leave here, I am changed. Amen. I long for this. You think I enjoy being a deceiver? You think I enjoy being smart? You think I enjoy? Because you condemn me afterwards. I saw, I said, but don't my heart is convicted because I wish it had to be so. And I hope nobody see me so. And you try to hide and cover it up. And that time, to be my father, let me look right to my heart and they know us so. He said, but what I get a hold of here today, all my life, this is what Grandpa Abraham used to talk about. This is what Daddy Isaac used to talk about. This is what Mama say when she by the well that day, when this man come with them camera. Amen! And some instructions said, I will go. He said, this kind of thing, I have a whole lot here. Oh my! It seems like it's coming late in the life, but it thank God it's coming anyhow, because I want to cross over that brook. Not the same like I was. I trust that as you get a hold, as you get a grip, as in the desperation of the moment and your soul and the longing for reality and being fed up and being ashamed and embarrassed to even look at your own spiritual self in the Word, because you don't want to see yourself that way. And the shame and the agony of putting on the religious self every day you step out the house and every day you come to church, hoping that nobody, oh God, will expose you, or nobody will see through you to live another day. That's torment. That's torment. You want to walk free. You want to get happy and talk and even think what you're saying. Because, brother, you know that subconscious so clean and purge out. You know, each day you're trying to live, bringing every thought into captivity. You know, before you do things, you watch your motive and your objective. You watch your intentions, why you want it. And when you see something different, you get back in the place and say, I ain't ready for that yet. You say, God, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to live this life that way. Friends, let me tell you, when you can find them place with God, you talk about overcoming, you're starting to overcome. Because that's where overcoming is not outside thing, outside behavior. Overcoming is you overcoming yourself on the inside. Because what is in yourself is what is in the world. This is the dust, the lust of the eyes, the lust, the pride of life. This very thing here is the world itself. That world come by sex. When man was born in the world, fell from a faith civilization to a science civilization. That's why that world has to go through water, blood, and fire. It's like a man. Otherwise, it can't come back. Same plan for man, the same plan for the earth. We have to burn in the atmosphere and purge the atmosphere, all politics, everything out there. Same with the man, yeah. That's why overcoming, you overcome this man right here. You overcome the world, friends. That's why when Jesus said, no man take my life, I lay down my life. That's overcoming, friends. He is a young man, but he could have won things. He had desire. He was in every form of man. He wasn't a robot. He teaches to live and to be bound to the Word and to live and walk in a place where God can use us. Look at Joseph. He always set free from a house full of enemies. When he was in that pit and among them traitors, he didn't have a bunch of traitors conspiring him to kill him and jealous of him and envious of him and saying all kind of negative and throwing words for him. He was commodity. He represented their wealth. The better he look and look well fed and nourished and healthy, the more sale they get. So he even getting better treatment for them than his own brothers. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like, I'm the father house. But every morning you get up, they pass the bunks here. They kick here. They trip here. They're planning some mischief against you. They throw in some wood for you. They see you come from quite a distance. Look, the dreamer coming. Very plan to kill him. If one don't find a pit already, look how good pit you go put, you go hold in that hole and pay for the time being. Next thing be that we can become profit off of him. We can exploit him and manipulate him. But where he was now, he had nobody against him in that way. You can think. You can lift your hand and praise God and sing. You think comfort is a wardrobe full of clothes? You think comfort is a big house? Don't fool yourself, man. King George was lying there dying, and a prophet who was born in a log cabin was sent to pray for him and take him out of that debt. You get what I'm saying? And then that prophet who went to King George Palace walked into that log cabin to take a next one out to that little boy. He said, I felt more welcome here than I ever felt anywhere else. So I walk and see the little sandman, God bless our home. King George Palace, see guards with swords and different, all kinds of different things. I'll check you before you go through. Think, friends. You see, sometimes our mind is open. So we think low, we think quite down here. We read the Word and we can't see.
the truth of God. You can't see the God that the Bible presented that way was intended to reveal. The circumstance, it was to make us, give us insight into and teach us the ways of life. So we can get the wisdom of the Holy Spirit into us. So that we, when the God who order our steps in life, we can see His, the why He planned it that way, what He want to achieve, why He permit this, why He only give it so much boundary, why He's holding there for so long, what you want to get out of you, what you want to put in you. You start to see, and you start to appreciate God's plan. You start to live under the influence of God's mind for you, because God's mind begins to come to your mind. And then in you, there's no more rebellion towards God, because you and God thinking the same. Because when God give you opportunity, when you're selfish, you show your own way. You want your way? Go your way. Fail, 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 fail. Trouble, 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 trouble. God say, wake up and realize you don't know what to do. Wake up and realize you're on a suicide mission. You're killing yourself. I'm trying to stubbornness and rebellion. This whole people right there for so long. When they're talking, I say, Lord, lead me, Lord. I'll follow. Show me the way, Lord. I'll walk in it. Lord, a little bit less. Now understand why you give me that space. Is that you didn't care for me, you know? You wanted me to come to the end of my own human strength and realize that inside of me to lead myself. So we will not argue and debate over that for the next 20 years. I learn it, I put it on, I surrender my will. I say, not my will, Lord. Take over. Put your chains on me, Jesus. I want to go where you're going, because your way is better than my way. Brother, he was free from his brothers when they sent him out there. He was free from that cage with that beast when he gets to the prison. When he gets to the prison, the gifts start to operate. Yeah, you know, dream and think, come there, open up the streets and think, yeah, you know. He did the job, he'd been a good employee, interested in the master business, trying to hope for the advancement of his master's house and estate. And he's showing stewardship, he's showing submission, he's showing accountability, he's showing responsibility, he's showing willingness to serve, and he's showing the depth of submission to authority and these things. Because he knows if I have to have authority one day, I must submit to authority. You get that? Joseph the overcomer. Every one of us walks from Genesis 37 to Genesis 45. All of us walk there. You get what I'm saying? As you walk through it. That's the seed in Genesis. That's the mystery of Christ opening the Bible. Then like Christ, we are predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And Joseph was that mystery. He was that perfection. Your Christ in the bride is the same. It's Jesus in bride form. God decreed in man, which is his church now. She's life with life, spirit with spirit. She's him revealed. That's the branch now. The world was trying him. But he knows, is there such a power in the world? Does the vision that God gave you, when he's giving you that vision, knows the things you'll have to go through before the vision fulfilled? The word of his patience. Because you have kept the word of my patience. There's a number of patience had to go while you had to wait for the fulfillment of that word. The visions are for the appointment, but you had to wait upon it. Now catch this. The God who is giving the vision, revealing it a certain way, is the God who is ordaining the trials to bring the vision to pass. Is the God who set the race before you. He set the course that you have to run. And that's the prize. Joseph, I was fixed on that prize. He's at a run from the father house. Down to Potiphar house. Down to the prison house. He's running. You talk about a marathon. But all that time he's running, there'll be glory at the end of this. Glory at the end of this. He's running for that prize. And the man who's striving for the master, he must do what? Strive lovely. You don't fight as one that beat the air. You must be temperate. Have self-control. Self-control with the brothers and them.
Self-control when he had no authority. Self-control when he had authority, he could punish them or forgive them. I forgive you. Like the prophet to the people making love. I forgive you. Self-control with Potiphar's wife. Temporary. Learning to overcome. And the disc is getting more severe. Every phase is getting more severe. The intensity of the test is determined by what you have need of and what the circumstances is. Think. In the prison house, what will that now test? That'll be we test, you know. That get greater. That get greater than Potiphar house in the father house. You mean to say God testing you, baby test now, when you mature? You mean to say God gonna be easier test than Lucana? In this age? Don't think, man. You see, in your mind, I'm trying to get a thing. I'm trying to get a thing to say, be in the prison house. Is how could that be greater and harder than the tested Potiphar wife in that house? How could it be harder? It depends on what is being tested and what need you have and what you desire is at that time. Sometimes in an environment, nothing can be done, so you have no temptation there concerning that thing. You are a place where a man can get tempted with a woman if a woman is around. A woman can get tempted with a man if a man is around. If a man or a woman is around, we will get tempted with a man or a woman. Because why? In the mind, the mechanism already decide. If you have no man here, you have no man here, nothing can be done here. But you get tested with something else. You get what I'm saying? Because God is building a masterpiece. God is building you something in you. You just come in the church. God is building something in you. And when God will build it, you have to test it. To prove his word that what I restore is his restored. You get what I'm saying? That's why when the great composer is composed, you know, we speak a basket full. I think before you write the masterpiece, you know. Every time you write one, something comes. More inspiration. It perfect that part, perfect this part. You know, the whole basket full. But when you get Noah build the ark and bring people over the flood and so on, you look at the Messiah. That can be the Messiah. Man, I'm drunk. Put away his basket. Start again. Moses is the Messiah. Born and poor, the living people coming out. Bam, smite the rocks, glorify himself. Follow, whisper basket. David comes, standing people to the great thing, delivering people, rejoicing. Go on and plan, kill the man, kill my wife, I'm in adultery. Got it. Whisper basket. You understand me? None of them can take the people back to the garden. Only redemption in part. When the masterpiece came, you can't improve on that. You can't improve on that. He's more than Moses. When the devil come at him, devil realize this is Moses. When the devil come at him, devil realize this is Elijah. When the devil come against him, he realize, he went about, oh God, no. The devil realize this is something else. When the devil come on and give this bride, you know, this ain't Lutheran way for your influence. This ain't Pentecostal. You have to know that too. When the devil come, God has to know this ain't the early church back there with the earnest. Because this is going beyond that. These ain't going to no grave. Friends, think. I want you to think. If this what I'm saying is the plan of God, if this is the Bible, if this is the age, if this is the time, if this message is the message, if we are the people who is called out, if this is the training,
then would God be doing all this and then telling the people, you are being prepared? Will a man be training, he's not going to get ready for the Olympics? Will a man be in that gym day and night? Every time he know that fight, he's done sign up. December 23rd, big fight, championship fight for the belt. But you watch that man in the gym every day. You watch that man running the road every day. You watch that man train. You watch that man dropping off things. Why? Everything is focused on because he's conscious this thing is revealed to me. I know the date of the fight. You have a calendar in front of him while you're training. When he train and punches, you have that man picture up there. That's right. You know that that's the man to be. That's what stands between me and the glory. This man right here. You know what happened to us? We didn't even get close there yet. We talk about resurrection. All the other church, stop from the church. When you get people to get in place. But you look different. You have some different. You have talk different. That's why you can't be like, you know my heart, my brother. What in your heart, they shine out to you all around you. And your buttons in your heart, your mouth, they speak. Then somebody knew, don't mess with him. I'm unserious. Hey, she ain't want to play tonight. Hey, that dinner? That ain't dinner, boy. Esther, but move from there, Esther. Maybe you're making a joke about it. And she was, you know, in Shechem, dog it. Is she going after him or something? You're making a joke. Let me tell you, God, the Spirit, I was saying, God, you get us in a place. We say, Lord, what do I want? What do I want? What am I going through this world? They come and sit down here in a hot building for nothing. It's torturing yourself. To be bare clothes from last night, you get policemen and press an iron on clothes and come and woke up for nothing. It's torture. But if you go and run the park early in the morning, drink a good cold water, take a good swim, you come out with some health and vitality. At least you can do a good week work coming up. You understand what I'm saying? You think God will sympathize with you and say, you're coming to the house of God? God is a religion, friend. God and calling, election calling. Because God knows you are what you are from seed. God knows he can't save us from seed, it's impossible. God, no, he can't make a goat a sheep. He can't do it. Because he'll be trying to improve what he doesn't do already. What God has in mind is pocket. So God, no, I have to get the right atmosphere for them. I have to bring a word to them. I have to get it sharp to circumcise and cut certain things. I have to get eye salve. He said, come and buy a word. Me what? Eye salve. Go try the fire and white women. I'm treating every bride needing this hour. God, tell them what they need of. And God, I'm going to pray. And God, to come and buy that. Yes, what did I sell for? What did we see it for? Why did they see that? Why did they get down there and try to declare before me? No, you need that. If you don't see something in this age, you're lost. Then I got open 7 seals. Just as I've known your eyes, and watch the world this way. This is how the world is. This is the purpose you call for. Watch your life this way. Watch your experiences this way. See God's purpose from here. Then you start to realize, oh, he's a vine dresser. That's what is happening to me. Oh, he's a potter. That's why he's going. He'll be paying me for work. Is there? Can I check in the Bible? Is there a work for people to do in the last day before the rapture? The guy living in the last days before the rapture. Let me see if I can find a work. Guess what? Can I see? There's a fruitful vine come forth in the last days. Guess what? Promise to be here. So you see, wait, this thing is real. Because heaven will pass, and that work can pass away. You're growing in knowledge. You're growing in grace. You start to see different. So when God changed you from the house of all the brothers and threw you out there, and it's like you're in bondage, and it seems like you are less rights now, and you find life get hard, life can get no hard, you get free from all that criticism and all that negative thing harassing you and all that jealousy and envy that try to strangle you. God freeing you from that and putting you out here, even though you're less privileged, no daddy to hug you up, but you're growing. You're growing and you're coming on to your place. Then he get there in that place, and then he look like he's had a smile. I have my own big quarters. I have my own servant. By the way, I am Master Joseph, little master. But if I was the bigger master, but he had me on day. The big lady, you know, they talk wrong. How them guy estate? The boss lady want to see him. So God, Lord, why wasn't my brothers and them? It's easier to deal with them 11, them 10 brothers back home than this beast here. I can't carry the torment day and night. Thank God for God, look what's happening. See? Oh God. But so I make a man who want to marry so if he's off. He said, some people let me content to get estate they have. Look how big the place is. Look at the husband of faithful. Look at the big position, man. I mean, that's all she can see. But when she's only watching all them soap opera all them day, and she grew up on Mills and Boons, and young and restless. You know what I'm saying? Brother, she cannot be a predator. And he started to suffer torment. In the book they were saying, she said, well, come and talk to me and my husband about this God there. God, realize it was supernatural to you. We never see this kind of prosperity yet. And we realize we were very fortunate. The thing that you get sold, you get kidnapped. And sold into slavery and the buy of an auction block. Think of what happened to the other people who had buy me for my husband. The book says she tells her husband, make sure you buy that slave. We'll sell everything. Buy me. Because see, when you're dealing with commodity, like a man buying the cow, and the public is called beef plump the hoof. He said, no, I don't believe. This is a wild one. What is here? She don't bring mommy to Chicago. Go buy that. No, man buying livestock. There's no livestock, you know. Man going to buy dog. I might get an old pot hung and some bit of paper and tell you that dog, if I'm still alive, they pay all that big money. Let the old pot hung here. The gate crack that dog and run under the bed. And he's supposed to be a dog and take train and think, you know, you get caught, right? So man have to know things. You want buying dog, you have to examine that dog. And you see pictures and things, they show they're buying slave. They check the man, teeth and things first. See whether I invest in a bunch of sickness here and disease. Check this fella here, check the IQ, check certain things. What he good for? If I have a big heavy thing to lift up along the yard, well, how much time I have a heavy thing to lift up along the yard? You know what I mean? Like a man got by a truck. And then he said, well, but this real iron here, let me make iron like this again. And he buy a truck. You better go and chat to your family for a drive, you have a big truck. You know what I mean? You better drop your children to school in the morning, you have a big truck. And you say, there are water truck, boy, and water ain't going at all in the street. And you say, when the water come, you can see how divided this truck. When the water gone? And you had a water shot, you had over 20 years, and the truck get old. Bad investment. So, when they examine a slave now, you want to know, he have capability. You can fix house. You can plant garden. You know what? Vineyards and so on. You know about cultivating flowers in the place. What about it? That's when they hit you. This is an act of anger. And right now, he's submissive. You know, got a holy temper. You have respect. As vexed as he is, he hold that tongue still. He says, guys, what? There's a good investment here. When she sees this boy here, then when they start examining what? What a young fella like he doing down here in the slave market? And the way he well groomed and taken care of, could see he grew up rich and sheltered and protected. He's some big man's son, you know. He's too educated. Like his father spent a lot of time, that boy reading languages. He picked up the Egyptian language in no time. He's a little boy smart.
They've got no administration. They've got no to get along with difficult people. That the prison officer saw. He had a way to get in the people, stop strife, set order, and everything. They said, what? This fella no human relations, man. He's good for his position. You think you guys smile, you guys serve, you in courteous, you can be some air hostess or some place where they do the hospitality or some big firm and they want some public relations person. You go in there all grumpy and you're gruff and you can't dress properly and you ain't looking like no asset. You have more liability to the company than anything else. They don't want you. He's like, I work hard. I don't make joke. He said, you work hard, go and load truck or something. In the big factory, you work hard, you have hard work to do, but out here, the hospitality services, you have to dress a certain way, you have to talk to the customers, even when they come, you're all grumpy, you have to know you're not going to represent the company, it's not your business, you only have a representative, you're face, you're the first face to meet. This business is about sacrificing hardship and labor and different things. And if you misrepresent the company, we're losing money and customers. So when they look at this boy, they saw certain things. Maybe he didn't even know he would, because being a slave, he never accustomed being a slave. He doesn't know slave buyers to speak. He didn't know how to invest in human commodity. But he's going to pick up these things quickly. That's in the mind of man. And then we start to realize, now, I have to learn how to behave myself here. I can't get up here every morning, cry, long lines with my daddy. I see this here. My daddy treated me better than that. I know how to conduct myself down here. When I get up here, I say Hebrew, only Egyptian down here. My race and all is important. That's why the fellow know his father was a king in a strange land. Back in the homeland. Man say, but how come you're free? This one's always smiling and helping the others and doing the work. And he said, what me? He said, I myself wonder. He said, wonder I found his father's a king in the land where he come from. So he know he has royal blood. This boy knew his father's a prophet of a line, like Abraham and Isaac. And God said, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And this boy seemed presenting was small. So he know we in contact with God. Same way we know Luther and Wesley and Irenaeus and Columba and Martin and all of them and Paul and them was in contact with God. And the prophet in contact with God. We know that lineage is who God worked through. How much more than that? How much time you think, they are not taping them days. How much time you think Jacob rehearsed that story to them? And they hear Grandpa Isaac, say, Grandpa Isaac, I know daddy tell me, but like you tell me now, like how you just say. Tell me when great-grandpa Abraham was there at the tendon in that season, and then how he was looking there after God come and say, he was El Shaddai. He said, explain more, open up that mystery, El Shaddai for me. And then God said, that's something in the grandpa. He said, what? Because he questioned this boy asking. He had a thing he wanted to know. He said, what are you for? Father said, I don't get a coat for here already. He said, a coat measure out already, like tailor for him. Because they watch. In their life and their environment, they watch that. This child different. This one born at a certain time when the mother goes through certain experience. When the mother is going through certain pain and certain in the family, this one comes as a sign to them. You see how we read the scripture this morning, yeah? I read that to mark some things here for you all. I read that like them by accident. I read those to mark things for you all. To keep before you. God in the Bible is the same. And what you read and just think in your mind, watch when what happened in the 20th century, then compare, you know how it was in the Bible. You can get it from your imagination. God is building a masterpiece. This boy had to overcome. He could not come into that without being an overcomer. Quickly, let me just strike one two quotes here. Hey, the time is gone. Jesus. You're playing the fool here. Anyhow, just a talk this morning. I want to get back a quote here. Possessing the enemy gates. I like this because this was the test time. He had preached this after he was tested and tried by God with the spoken word. He had come to the form image of the word and now the image could speak. And so he understood
that God had built a masterpiece. He was that masterpiece. And he's speaking here, the mystical of possessing the enemy gate. Well, he had come through the trial, and he had overcome the trial. He had possessed the enemy gates. You know the enemy gates? Have five in the body and five in the spirit. See, taste, hear, smell, and touch. Reason, conscience, memory, affection, imagination. That's the enemy gates. I know what the possessed enemy gates? You want the soul, faith. Bring all in the captivity. Tied to the absolute. Faith is master sight. Faith is master reasoning. That is how faith is master all circumstances. Because these circumstances make you reason. Circumstances make you get double-minded. Circumstances bring fear in your spirit realm, your emotions. But faith, no, they drive that out by keeping the word there, holding the word there. And what your word is in the circumstance is governed by the word, because the word creates everything. See, you're not fighting, you're not watching this storm, you know. No. He doesn't think we're going to win here in the moon. Every sense is like the devil. See right there? This morning there? While praying there, the mother hand the father, the child, the driver, the child, the child. And I know it's the devil. Because right there, I know it's not just a restless time. Because the very scripture I read and the very experience I share. You know what I'm saying? He said, God had been testing the patriarch. I'm going to read it close. Let me just, if you want to come and stand by them here. God had been testing the patriarch because he had given him a promise. I read this in the night. I want to read again. And when God makes a promise, he wants to be sure that this person is worthy of the promise before he fulfills what he said or what he promises. God showed Joseph he's coming to that. But you don't come in there because God tell it. God tell him adoption and man to say sons of God. But you don't come in there because God say. Before you reach there, you just think and wonder whether you call hundreds of times. What was it? He said, honey, am I called? He said, Bill, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I mean, if you call what? Because a call life is go through so many things. 1 minute, God all over you. And next minute, you're all left alone and you're like a piece of dirt. You get what I'm saying? Because the mystery is God and man. Divinity and humanity together. He was tired and hungry. He was sleepy. But when that inspiration struck, as hungry as he was, he said, no man can mystery no more. Next day, he was dry. As sleepy as he was, he got up from that boat and said, peace be still. I went back and sleep. So sleepy. But that storm, get quiet. And full of grief and pain to see Lazarus there. You see, that was the man first, then the God. You see, when you have no revelation, he said, oh, so you cry for it if he's God and you're going to raise him. We got emotional about it. No, he's man. He's man. I do not think his father for sure. He had vision. You know the man's gonna live. But in relation with the man, that's his friend. They stay in the house. The families will feed him. Take care. They open a room for him in the house. They suffer persecution to follow him and believe that he was the Messiah. The God part is the office. Yeah, but Abraham said, I want to go by Charlie. Go on the field. I want to go by Charlie. I got my squirrel gun. I got my bullets. Ooh, I'm going to buy this time of the year. We know you have plenty of squirrels down there. And then he goes, is it Charlie not like mine? Extra salt on mine. Extra pepper on mine. And the day I shoot the squirrel, all he was, there's a man. When he stands there and say, ask for your one happy, that's more than a man. That's more than a man. There's a man say, well, can I school in the woods here? Set my watch 10 minutes, take a nap. Then I'll tell the brothers, go get out of the woods. And when he stands there, speak and say, let us go over there, that's more than a man. inspiration. Moses.
Lord, what must I do?
That was a man. When he said, today you'll see this, he said, no more! That was more than a man. Joshua, see the man there? Joshua said, talk fast, who you for? There's a man. And he watched that son, he said, son, stand still. There's more than a man. I should tell a story. One time I was down in Port of Spain, and the West Indies was playing test cricket in the Oval. And I sit down in the car, and the car was parked on Frederick Street. And I looked through the window. There was Clive Lloyd and a few of the other cricketers there. And there's a normal civilian clothes, you know, a little cool shirt and the shopping bag, and they're walking along the street and they're going about their business, they're buying little things in Trinidad, playing a test, they leave here and go to the next island. And they pick up little stuff, maybe for the children, family, whatever it is, and so on. Something struck me. I spoke to Clive Lloyd. In the cricket world, he was the best fieldsman in the world at his time, and then he was named Lasher Lloyd. I said, look at this man walking here so normal. I said, put this man in the Oval, put 30,000 spectators in them stands here, put the fastest bowler here, put him in the flannels, and his favorite bat, and he stand up there. I said, what walking in the shopping bag, talking to the fellas here normal? You will see something in that same man. All of a sudden, go to work. And you see an abilities and a comfort that you don't see normally so. You see, that's how it is. That's how it is. He's talking about me, well, friends, you know, I love the Lord, and we don't come here in the service and so on. Then he's standing there. And he's talking to a woman. He doesn't break into the realm of vision. And he's telling us what's going to happen. He said, no, I can't be. He said, this has nothing to do with you and what you even believe, sister. I'm seeing you in the vision. That's his word already expressed. You're not in the shape to believe that now. You'll believe that one day and it will happen. Because he will make you believe that when the time comes. You know anything in our life we say we will not do? But God brings us to the place to do it. You know anything in our life we say we could not believe? But God brings us to the shape and condition we can believe it now. That's right. It has nothing to do with us. It's from where God's seeing this. And this overcoming, we have to be tested first. We have to go through these things. Every child of God. He said, God, time and time, had tested him. Talking about Abraham. But he came to that final test before the blessing was going to happen. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is with all the seed of Abraham. God gives us that final test just before he gives the promise. And if it was possible, I'd like to say something here personally, but I will hold that, where he had just had the victory in his own life, overcoming his test. It's that final test to see how you will react upon it. And when he had given Abraham this test, he found Abraham just as true as he was when he started. When he did this, never withheld his only son. He was about to plunge the knife into Isaac's bosom to destroy his testimony. He had testified all over the known earth that he was acquainted with, that he was going to have this son. And when the son came, he was asked to double back and destroy the only hope that he had for a testimony to be fulfilled. And when God seen that he was loyal to that faith he had in God, like a wife and a husband, you know, she said, honey, I love you. I really, really love you with my heart. He wants to believe her. He's believing her. He's saying, honey, I love you too. But maybe the devil fight. Maybe they have doubts. Maybe he think issues come up. Maybe at that time he will see she's selfish. Maybe that time she'll see him selfish. Maybe that time she say, you ain't care for me. Maybe that time he say, it's what you ain't care for me either. Maybe that time they fight over things. And so sometimes they get there. Then there are times again, you feel, I'll die for you. And she feels the same way too. And you realize, we just say that when things are going nice. And we just say that, I just say it when I enjoy myself. And you just say it when you enjoy yourself. But I notice when you go to your heart when you're grumpy, you leave all of it behind. And that's the time When we say, well, say it first now, you start talking about God and no grandchildren. And every man for himself. And you talk that kind of way. He said, realize, I want to believe. Listen with God, friends. Though he knows, but we don't know. And because we don't know, we can only act according to what we know. Because what we don't know many times, we have fear. And Satan many times exploit our ignorance. So God had to bring us to know by experience, not just by reading and somebody else's testimony. He had to know it for you too. Because sometimes you hear somebody say, you forget that person for that? I can never do that. Not me. I cast myself in that top. And you come into a worse and you do it easier. You know what happened there? You start to discover something yourself, you never know. Because you thought that was a human ability doing that. And when you get that experience, you like God stepping in and doing that, not you. And you start to see the value of the Holy Ghost in our life. And you start to see the submission of God, what these things mean in our life. And you start to realize how you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. But it's not for when you want or how you want, it's the things God ordained for it to happen. And then you see the reality of God. And the same love that's come, the raging bull, you watch that same love that's moving you. Because that same love that's come, you who could be a raging bull. You gonna say? Sometimes you want to calm others, but that love that's calm you. That love settled over you. And you say, well, I was so vexed, I'm gonna let them have it. And then I find what come out is, well, we will ban rebellion and go forward by the grace of God. You know what I'm saying? And you say, what on earth is this? Life is a paradox. I'm a controller. What's that? Here, what's that? That's what I was preaching last week. That's the restraining influence of God. God restrained Reuben and them. And went and opened the pit. When they go and kill him, God used Judah. And God restrained them and said, don't kill him. Look, the Ishmaelites coming. God exerting upon wicked people a restraining influence, preventing them from doing something that they're naturally inclined to do. Do you see me? When you say I see them, you see something there. And you don't talk up to all your friends, watch how I deal with that. And you walk out there and you're your best laddie. And only mercy and grace. I'm only waiting for the fight. And like, I don't even control over my emotion. Because my mind is set to do that. And I can't carry it out. And you're not even learning. No, that's God. That's God. Abimelech planned to take Sarah. But he touched down on you and your kingdom finished. And God restrained this man. He's a king. He has soldiers. He doesn't talk to this man. He hears his man's sister. He has all rights. He's not abducting nobody. He has rights by the law of his land. He can do that. Think of it. Balaam wanted to curse Israel. And God restrained him and only make him bless the people. Then look at God softly had a Potiphar and raised his boy up. Until this boy was in charge of everything this man had. God gave him favor in sight of the prison master. God gave him wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh. Until Pharaoh said, only in the throne I will be greater than you. But everything else. Potiphar. He tells his Potiphar wife. He said, everything else God give me. Your husband will be in charge of except you. Because you belong to him. And he was like, but God's with me. Didn't he discover something that pleased God? You think God is with him by accident? You think he just blessed God? You think God is going to bless somebody and go bless the rest? No. He knew what it is to please God. He started to learn what it takes to please God. And when God saw his heart, his mind, his desire, when God saw his biblical correction, his willingness to accept instruction,
When do I begin to see the kind of intentions, the motive, objectives in this boy's heart? The will to sacrifice others. God says, see you, you will have anything I have. I bless you ever. And God's with him in Egypt. And God's with him in the prison house. And the Bible kept saying, and God's with him. Like with Paul in the storm, we did Friday. Man in chain, in the prison in chain, but God with him. You get that? God restraining influence, even upon the animals. We tell the delivery service, take this food, drop it for Elijah. Destination, Brook Chariot. Delivery service. He talked about food already. I get the call, I prepare it, use my messengers, take it in. He said, when you get down there, don't forget the ministry. Don't ever drop it from the sky. Only make a soft landing and in order. You first, you second, you third, you fourth, you fifth, you sixth, you seventh. Seven, you're the same course men you're getting. Each one of them, put it in a straight line. Like, I'll be right there to supervise you all. Be ready for my instructions. God in his creation for his servant. You know when you have God waiting on you? How many lambs are going to come out and dry our tears? How many lambs are going to break the bread and serve us? That's the only time you want to save us? How many serve us all of your life? How many of these are here want to be the greatest and be the least and serve? Then he used to keep and wash fishermen's feet. He didn't wait to be served. He come down to serve. Let's learn his ways. Let's have his ways cultivating us. Let's see this picture of him before us. Not a man with a beard and a middle part, and not that. But his character in the Bible, his ways in dealing with his children, his great mighty hand, the way he tries us and tests and proves us, yet skillfully, he bends that vine, he purges it, he nails it down where it needs to, but he makes it more fruitful. He breaks that vessel, he puts it in the wheel, he puts pressure in certain places. He brings it in the water and through the fire in the oven. And then he brings it out in service. A vessel prepared for a good work. Let's see him. And let's yield and submit to him. Let's let go. Let's not fight and retaliate. Let's not live like people who now start to walk with him and they know nothing about him. We have walked with him. He has talked to us. He has taught us. He has unveiled himself to us. Let's now become influenced. Let's live under this influence. Let, when the conditions come, our light shine, our saltiness, affect people on contact that create a thirst in them for what we have. When God sees you as Lord, that faith he had in God. Think of it, friends. You say, what about Abraham and Isaac on the mountain? The one promise that was given. And by his loyalty and his knowing and his faith in Jehovah, it's true that not alone that God looked on and said, his seed shall possess the gates. I've sworn by myself I'll do these things. There's no great he could swear by, but he swore by himself. Then if he let Abraham be tested to that final point, he's got to test you and me to that final moment, that time of decision, when everything's away from you, you have to stand alone there. You have to stand alone there. They're trying to get all kind of people to come around you, give support, prop you up. But no, Jacob was alone. And Jesus in Gethsemane was alone and went a little further and prayed while the rest slept. And Abraham was alone on the mountain. God brings you to the place where you stand alone. Because that's part of his work. When you don't know him and you don't know how he works, I don't realize that's why he gives us these examples, because he shows us how he does it in the lives of his children. And he shows us what he expects from his children before he can bless them. Stand alone, walk out there, and say, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. That's the one that he gives the promise to. But he talked about how God had bring tension in the church. God, yeah, he said,
He said, he had trials. He said, think about Moses. He had led them out by the hand of Jehovah. They come there, met the gate between him and the promised land. There was the Red Sea, a bar across the way. They were hemmed in by Pharaoh's army. Mountains and deserts and the Red Sea. Mountains on the side, desert behind them, Red Sea in front of them. And Pharaoh's army coming. But Moses stepped forward and possessed the gate of his enemy and crossed the Red Sea dry shod as he was walking on a dusty road. He said, cross it dry shod as though he was walking on a dusty road. Open up that Red Sea and walk right on forward. You shall possess the gate of the enemy. God said so, and that said it. And only a few years later, when the trials come and the church got all shook up, as it is so easy for our congregation and people to do when something just don't seem to happen the way it's supposed to be. He said, God makes it that way. God brings tension into the church. God makes it that way. God brings tension into the church. God let the devil stir up Korah. God let the devil get them people to move and complain. God let all kinds of things happen in the church. But Moses had to stay there looking to God. What, remembering the training, remembering the commission, remembering that I come back to this mountain, remembering the promise made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and confirm and swear by himself, they will inherit this land. They will come back to this place in the fourth generation after he judged that nation. What was keeping them? The word that was revealed to them. The things that they knew in the word that was already fulfilled. And then you, we in journey here, is fulfilling the path where we are coming into the land. The fourth generation already coming. I am that prophet. I brought the plagues. God judged with a mighty hand. That was me. They tried to kill me. God, spare my life. God, raise me up. I come to the Red Sea. I am commissioned. I show me signs of a confirmation. I'm a commission. I see the rock follow when the message was rejected. I see how the heart was hardened. He said, here, I haven't taken them in there yet. But that part that's going on now, I have to stand. I have to stand. They was understanding that. He was like a man saying, why I end up with all these people? How I end up here? I don't know what age I'm in. How could I be sure that that part of the world being fulfilled? How could this experience really be that? Is it going to take 40 years to get there? I don't have a quote saying it's supposed to be 40 years. When I measure the distance on the map, it's supposed to be about 3-4 days. What's going on here? Am I being led or not being led? God was there with them. They were walking up this. When faith is designed to reveal to you the will of God. Only faith can do that. Don't try to do the will of God by reason, friends. You can't do it. You can never make them scripture tied together. It will take you walking the word and the word being interpreted in your life to see how it ties. To see how the vision comes to pass. When you sit down and you try to push through that theology, the word of God has never really been fulfilled that from Genesis to Revelation. But in every age, God spoke a word a lot of the time and season. God predestined people, and then God to anoint them people, and then people are led by the Spirit to quicken and bring to life the words in the Bible and make it manifest, because they have that faith to operate that word. They're born for that. The word predestined and the word written for the hour. Those are the people, and they can catch inspiration, and they can catch those things. That's why I said, watch the clock there, 2 o'clock. Man, to him, that meant something. He said, hear this in a higher octave. He had the air to hear that. Nobody else to hear that. What was the key for that? His life was tied together to the Zodiac, the written Bible, and the pyramid together. His ministry, he was the scepter one. He was in the age of Leo the Lion. He was bringing the thunders, the mystery, the headstone. He was the one of Revelation 10, where the book is open and the lion roar. It was him. He was born for that very hour. And that's where your life and my life is not a haphazard life. Learn to understand what God make you. Because faith relies upon what God make you. That's what gives faith. Faith is when you begin to understand your position. And you see how God make you and design you for this age. God designed you for eagle age. God designed you for prophetic vision. God designed you for perfect faith. God designed you to come to maturity, to adoption.
We get to walk with authority, to live in the spirit of fellowship with God, to walk with God in the mystery. God designed you for that. That's why he said, would you walk with me? He said, oh God, that's my desire. And here, man, God, like in the garden, even walking together. He designed for that. God designed you for that, friends. We are robbing ourselves by shutting ourselves away from them. If this morning in your heart, you say, God, how many times Joseph might have fallen and failed? But Lord, I never thought of it that way, that you were freed from that the Father's house and you were in a safer place among the slave traders. You had people who were willing to hear and understand. You had people who wouldn't fight against the vision. You had people who had no need to be jealous and envious. You had people who didn't compete with. When you went in Potiphar's house, he's an Egyptian. He ain't thinking about whether you use what you are. All you know, you have been a benefit to me since you're around here. I have prospered. And I recognize you because of you. And Potiphar was able to treat him nice. I said, give him authority and lift him up and give him honor that his brothers wouldn't even give him. You get what I'm saying? That is how life is. But when a man walking and life is unfolding to him, and the mystery of the word and the testings of God. The testings of God, the thing you have a fellowship deep with, because the background is here. The test is not out here, but the test is here. This is where the testing ground is. Because here you understand why that is happening. Then you start to know what is the behavior of the congregation, where that fits in the word. What should I gird, what truth should I gird the loins of my mind with? To keep sane in the midst of this. To know if I have the right attitude towards this. That's where it is. Overcoming is to recognize the devil in the streets. Overcoming means to stand the test. He stood the test against the brothers. He stood the test against Potiphar's wife. He stood the test even when he was disappointed. Think of it. He tell the butler. He said, think on me. He said, you going back to the presence of the king. 3 days. Time you go back to your job, remember me. Because I really was sold down here. Read in the back. I have to read. He said, I was sold down here. And even this dungeon, I have no right in this dungeon. He had left out all this to them. What had happened? He had confided. He said, so put note to me, because you, the king will have your heirs 3 days from now. You'll be able to talk right to these heirs and tell them about me. And the Bible said, the butler forgot. You can imagine. He asks in the butler come on here. You sure the butler is somebody? Well, that's a good man. When I see that man in the vision, that's a good man. That man will give me that. That's a man with gratitude. He's always sure that man said nothing. Disappointed. God said, teach him, son, it ended time here. Plus, this will not come by the help of man this way. You can't look for man for his deliverance. This is not about man. This is me and you. You have to stay here longer. He said, when you are going over here, it's the king himself sending for you. When they come in for you, it's not like they're freeing somebody who get unjust punishment. So they kind of showing some leniency and some mercy to a prisoner who end up getting dealt with harshly. So when you come out, you can feel, give me passage now. Let me go walk in the land of my fathers. No. He said, when you come out of here, all are Egypt. Want somebody to help them. You'll be coming out to save Egypt. They will be coming to you because they need you. They ain't doing you no favor. They'll be coming to you to beg you to stay and take that position to save them. You see, because I have this thing so sealed up, no theologian, no magician, no soothsayer, no diviner, because no this here. I'll communicate this to you alone. Unlock this, the key will be in your hand. Because this is what I had spoken concerning you. How much of us would have failed right there? Looking and depending on the help of man. But God was the author and God was the finisher. Friends, listen to this morning. In your life, God is the author and God the finisher. The clay didn't even exist when the potter had it. A vision in his mind for the vessel and the wood. Then the potter decided, What kind of clay are you going to bring in? I want black clay for you. I want white clay for you. I want light brown clay for you. I want dark brown clay for you. You got to plan your home. You got to plan your family. You got to plan your name to bring that seed through. He didn't say, when I met Hope, she had the brown eyes and the brown hair. Is that right? Because he made each one different to suit his purpose. Let go and let God. Let go, let me, and let God. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let go and let God. Have I been used of him? Was able to be of persuasion, godly persuasion to you this morning? The word that I've spoken and the places that I've focused on to speak to you, little places, minute things, things that sometimes we don't spend a lot of time on because it's in places in your heart and life. You really have been watching your life with a microscope to see those places. But in those places, it determines whether you live with peace or you live with tension and pressure and frustration. Whether you live with assurance and confidence. Whether you have rest in your soul or you live with anxiety. Whether you're unsure and so you push to live by human will and human energy of the flesh. Running, trying. But it's nothing trying. It's nothing running. You begin to find out. Is in letting go and letting God. You begin to find out he has a plan for my life. You begin to find out he has a time and a season. And what I have been tried with is the very word that he revealed to me in the beginning. Until his word came. In that times, you used to believe a thing. Then you stop believing faith. Because a lot of your faith fall apart. Some people just get up through failure and start to live a normal life. And say, see me? If God didn't give me ideas, yes, I can't live this life. But I go to church. But I come to church with no expectation. I just come to church without praying for the service. I just come to church without the consciousness of a posted duty. I just come to church and it's not a human gathering. And what have been that condition? That has been the result of lack of overcoming my life. I've had failure, but I have not had review and analysis to see what brought failure. I have not walked back and said, why did I fail here? Self-judgment is something that should be very close to a real Christian. When you examine yourself, sometimes you find you have more judgment for other people than for yourself. You have others' judgment. But the Bible says self-judgment. If you judge yourself. Ain't that if you judge? It warns you every time of judging other people. But admonitions you to judge yourself. And then it says you're going to judge others. Judge yourself first. Because by what judgment you judge yourself, you will judge. You judge others, you will judge by. And you take the beam out of your eye, you take the mote out of somebody's eye, and you put the beam in your eye, and put the mote, the little dust in somebody's eye, and you put the big beam that's holding up the roof in our eyes. That's why in these things, you want to see, you want to look in. Look into them. Look into my brothers and my sisters. The hour is late. The time is fast spent. Soon the Lord will come. The earth is shaking. This region is being blasted. People are suffering overnight. But as I was telling this morning, he's talking to some of the saints in Grenada. He says, like looting when to start back, whatever the looting, things to loot. Discontent and strife, because no relief ain't reaching the point of relief. You read in the papers a lot of statements, so and so do this, so and so do that, so and so do that. I would like to take maybe a service and show you what some of those things are. Because you see, these islands, friend, what you're going to build, tell me what the big powers want to build back Grenada for.
What did I could offer them in the new world that's coming? If Carrie can become another Haiti, become back under colonialism, our national pride will go. Our resources will be controlled. And North America will be secure. They're not going to fight back in Iraq to get natural gas and oil. They can take all right here. You always hear things preached and read the Bible. And it's so far-fetched. It don't touch your whole world. Sometimes it's like a crazy man talking. But the thing is, when you don't know the world, bombs, tanks, and planes in 1982 brought curfew, state emergency, and rationing of food. A storm brought curfew, imported soldiers to keep order over there in Grenada. I see the charging the soldiers, Trinidad soldiers, for selling food for the relief people. People over there being roughed up, and they say by a lot of soldiers, ready to train for war. Send over the direct traffic and deliver water. We passed by the airport, they were supposed to be doing some repair jobs. I was pointing to the brothers, I said, we're off 6 days. Look, they bought about 5 sheets of galvanized. You think there's some army being trained with gun and tank and different things day and night? Emergency, they flout there. They keep peace and order in a country. Have nobody fighting them. And when we did, we had to go and put on galvanized for people and pointing it. You didn't want to do that? In the army? In the age, I guess? When they see other soldiers going in the place with unrest and keeping place and exercising authority and these things? You didn't satisfy with that? But that's the kind of world that they create. That's the kind of world that they create. But while all that is going on, there's a people who was noticing Joseph in person while Egypt had the great bazaars, the great markets, the great highways, the great international trade, while Egypt was a superpower and Pharaoh had all his diplomats and delegates and everything else, and they had the great Sphinx and the pyramids there in the land, and they had all the glory of Egypt and the great tombs of the great pharaohs and all these things. Who was concerned about a foreigner, a little Hebrew boy, in a prison and a rape charge? Who could have believed that the destiny and the survival of that nation laid in that little boy, who in his homeland was growing up under the influence of prophetic ministry, a prophetic father? He actually had a vision of what was going to happen that age. He was so insignificant that the butler forget him. Can he get back in the courts? Can he restore back his job? Can he walk around and tell them, they can't fire me? I have connections. I gave a sacrifice to Ra, the sun god. I threw the water to the east with the golden lotus and prayed to the great falcon every holy day. Look, I'm back in the job here. Who could think about that? But that day, a similar thing came back. A dream that nobody could interpret. He said, oh my goodness, I remember my sin this day. I remember my sin this day. When I was about to die, and I had no hope, I was in despair, destitute, so terrified, my nice young children at home will never see me again. I'll be hanging there where on that gallows they already built. That morning, a Hebrew woke up to me and found him so sad, he said, I comfort him. When I tell him the dream, he spoke with such authority, with such a clear vision. And he knew things about me. And he told me exactly what's going to happen to me, or he's going to happen to Rebecca. And just as it came to pass, he said, your honor, there's such a man. And more than that, he was falsely accused. And more than that, and now Egypt needed him. So instead of God just let the butler help him out, he says, no glory to God, it's glory to the butler. God bring it to the place that the king had to come and submit. He said, go and tell my father you've seen my glory, and God have made me a father to Pharaoh. I, the young boy, Pharaoh like my son. Because The security is locked up in my wisdom. The security is locked up in my gift. Prophet Jezebel only knew the power of God, the defense of that country. If Ahab only knew it, later in that prophet Elijah. Man, he might go close away. He could shut the heaven, open the heavens. He could bring trouble to that whole nation, cripple that nation. But he could call and bring rain back, and everything could flourish. He said, if America had only known, they wouldn't need one satellite, they wouldn't need one tank, and not one plane, if they only knew what was in the midst. They wouldn't need a hospital there, if they only knew 25,000 could be healed in one prayer. If they would set it up and he'd go through the United States of America, think of what would happen there. But they didn't want that. They wanted the civilization. They wanted the science. They wanted the tanks and planes and the bombs. So what he saw for them? Debris, as far as the eye can see. Explode. You might think you are nobody, but a lot of people's salvation deliverance is locked up in you this morning. God didn't give you that job by chance. God light a lamp and put on that lampstand to give them light in the office. But sometimes you let your lampshade get smoky and you let your wick burn out and you let your light go out because you forget God sent you there for. You went there and you get influenced by the people there and you come like them and your testimony with no effect like Lot in Sodom. And when the salt of lost its savor, it's good for nothing. Don't let it happen to you, my brother, my sister. Don't get away from this vision. Come back to the place where you can know the thoughts of God in your life. If you have failed and you fail to walk on with God, and you kind of living the give up life, and trying to live the good life and hope that you'll make it in the end, come with that nonsense this morning. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. You shall mount up with wings of an eagle, you shall run up where you shall walk on a field. I will restore Seth the Lord. But if you cut up your window, you can be stripped and everything else. But God can bring a resurrection in your life this morning. By the grace of Almighty God, God can break them chains and fetters. The same way you open them prison doors. That woman never knew that when she thinks she was falsely accusing him, God was sending him into that prison to make contact with the butler. You get that? God was sending him to make contact with the butler. Why? Because the butler had a dream and the butler is going to get exposed to the gift. And he'll be able to testify to Pharaoh, there's such a gift in the land. The chief butler. God said, Joseph, go down there. How many know God has sent you in prison to deliver people? Paul and Silas, God sent them in prison, falsely accused and beaten, do the same way. I can imagine when they sit there and Silas kind of dumb. I'm thinking and thought this morning, I hear they start to sing the first song, I Will Praise the Lord. I say, God, you are so unique. But listen to this. I feel now I know why they sing. Silas, back all beaten, and Paul said, Silas, Genesis 39 and 40, boy. You understand? Say, Paul, we're talking about Genesis 39 and 40. He said, Silas, Genesis 39 and 40. So who is that? He said, Joseph falsely accused, beaten, and thrown into prison. He said, so we're supposed to see the butler coming in here any minute? He said, yes. He said, because God led us to this place. But this is what happened since we come here. If God sent us here and this happened, nothing going wrong. That means something. You get me? I don't have to see Philippian jailer coming on his hands and knees. What must I do to be seen? Is it Silas? You see, brother, what walking in the world is? You understand that? He said, we are called not to live in no kind of weak life. Weak man. The God we serve could put us in a fish belly to carry his word. The God we serve will create a whole storm just to get you where he wants you. I mean, the God in this day bring a storm, bring a plane down because one woman is praying. There's not a prophet there to the house. See, you read the Bible, but if it didn't open to you,
That God looks strange in the 20th century, 21st century. But that God is still the same God. He's the unchanging God. And when he sent them in prison, and they called, they had to make contact with one in prison, start the word in that place. You think the devil will look for you there? The devil thought he got a chance to run from God, people. Friends, when you're weak and you don't have revelation, adversity, circumstances mash you up and bring doubt. And then that don't help either when you have a lot of carnal people around you. Because the first you feel God punishing you, things happening to you, and all kinds of different things. But when you have adversity, you stand there with a smile. And you know you're walking in a vision of the word. And you know that's such a comfort to walk in a place where the word is a lamp to your feet, where the way is clear to you by the grace of God. Let us sing a little song, Let Go and Let God. We have this standing here for prayer. I guess when you hear the word like this in places, it uncover things in your life. Sometimes you know them places there, but you're waiting for it to be set in a service. And then you walk up when you hear. Sometimes to you, many of you, the things you walk up by this altar for, you can settle with that by reading the word of God in your own heart. In your own room at home. Sometimes these things that you hear in the word, you didn't get to know that this morning. That these are things you have seen in your life before. But you kind of go through the guilt complex sometimes where the word talk it and it's inside of you and you kind of say, God talk to me. Maybe he did because he's long suffering. Many of these things you know yourself what's right and what's wrong. Because a prayer will not change many of these things. It is you making decisions in your life. It is you driving the stick down. Who could pray that for you? Who could pray you into that place? It is you sitting under the word and asking God, God, show me. And the Spirit of God is going to teach you the injustice, the harm, the depth of your own selfishness, your carnality, your lustfulness, your wickedness, your schemes, your slyness, your pretense. And when God shows you some of these things about yourself, all you'll do is say, Lord, I don't want to be this way. And sometimes the prayer will be answered where you was when God had talked to you about it. But sometimes that's the place you want to go in the toilet and kneel on the job and pray. But that's even the place where that has a good day. You filled in your life, the prayer will be effective in the toilet. When we come in the night church, Sunday morning church, close before the altar, that is not the place. Because the real altar is the place where the conviction is. It's the place where God talked to you. You see, Paul's altar was in the road to Damascus right there. Moses' altar was in the back of the burning bush right there. The prophet's altar was in the woodshed where God met him right there. Jesus' altar was in Gethsemane under the tree. Peter's altar was at the Sea of Tiberias. I remember my altar. My altar was never a church altar. My altar has been Santa Cruz for weeks and weeks and months because the sin had piled up so much and so deep that God wanted to show me slow and God wanted to hold me long and make me patient and God wanted to start back from the early day growing up when I was already conscious of His presence and each day said to me, He would show me. And each day I would weep and cry. I'd have a bucket of tears if at the end. In those months, I knew more crying and tears than praying. I didn't even know how to pray in them days. But I knew my heart was broken. I understood what was communicating to me. Though I might never explain and define to somebody else, I knew what my sin was. That's the kind and that's the time and that's the place and that's the manner that deliverance comes from. Would you like to meet God like that this morning? Yeah. That's the way you want to meet. If you don't want to meet somebody, say a prayer over your head. Think of how many times you've come at this altar for some of the same things.
Sometimes this needs separation. It needs self-crucifixion. It needs coming to a place that you have to desire the things of God. Not just to get rid of things from your life. Because you know the problem, you come back here, you don't get filled up, Pastor. You do your religious part, I say it away, come by the altar. That don't change your friends. You gotta get filled up after that. Something that comes and fill you. When you get filled, otherwise you go and do the same thing and the worst thing happen to you. He says you can be healed, but to stay healed, you have to become a Christian. It's impossible to keep your healing and don't become a Christian. Because that devil walk in dry place and come back. And when he find that place not filled, he's coming right back in. And he can't come in because it's seven woods. And then he's coming in. And then you stay, become woods. The only thing keep that out, you have to be filled. But you don't go on to get filled. You don't go on to pray through. You don't go on to tempt you out. You don't go on to doubt these things. You depend on somebody else's prayer for your sin. Other people pray for your sin can't help you, friends. You do this and you do the prayer. You're not a baby. You're not a body child. Time you come to the account to believe. God child, you answer to God. Parents are able to give advice. But you, the responsibility is upon your conscience. You refuse that, you're dead. That's what it is. I'm trusting by the grace of God. In this late hour, friends, we can be in and out of this church. Going to Grenada, trying to get out there to the people. People in need. People in desperate conditions. So you have an opportunity to have sin removed from your life. You want to know, you're going to apply the blood. Apply to your own heart today. Look at some of you, I see backsliders here. I see some of you, maybe it's mind battles you're going through. Maybe you're not even sinning in your life, just mind battles. But the devil have you so condemned. Standing there, you can't even have faith. But get desperate or perish. You have to know, I want it more than my life. Jacob, get a hold of God. I will not let you go except the blessing. Until you are ready to meet with God that way, you're not going to get much. You hear the word, you look in the mirror, you see yourself, you walk away and forget what you look like. And in simplicity of the honesty of your heart, God is knowing you mean it. And if you mean it, you ask Him, Lord, I am standing here first. That I did this for me. I did this for Brother Vic. I did this for the church to see. I did this for me. When I sat in my seat, I felt by doing this, I marked this spot in my life. I make an indelible mark. Because in doing that, I own up. But Lord, now you know my heart. But I don't need to know what I wrong with me. This is not going up to the altar. The priest will see the confessional window, tell you God burned two candles and it's over. This is you in your heart before God. Lord, I thank you for your word. You show me certain things today. I stand here as a sign that I'm marking this spot and I'm willing to submit my life to you and you take these things out of my life. Lord, in places that I didn't cultivate it, let the word speak to me. I come. I want to stand here as a sign. Lord, be with me. Lord, create in me the hatred for this sin. Because people can pray for me, I can pray, but if I don't hate the things, I can't die to it. For me to die to it, I have to hate it. And I can't say I hate it because my nature like it. Sin is a pleasure. Sin is not gall and bitterness. Bible says pleasure is a sin. So you can't play a hate sin. God have to open up to you how sin is the base of your condemnation, how that leads you to destruction, how that separates you from God, how that is the devil deceiving you and robbing you. Then you can see the deceitfulness of sin. When you see the deceitfulness of sin, then you want God to push out of you. Rather, you confess your sins, He is just and faithful to forgive your sins. And if you walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of His Son cleanses it from all sin. And then there are some things you need advice. And then there are some things you need to separate from and shun the very appearance of evil. All of these things go that you don't come back by the altar. This morning,
You stand here. I want you to stand with that kind of conviction. I want you to stand with that kind of meaning and purpose in your heart. And your heart, you let God see. And God is one who can't bluff. With me, you can cry. With me, you can try to woke up yourself to feel something when you stand here. Thinking if you feel something, something happens. You can stand here and be dry as this body. Yeah, God didn't tell you to come here and feel nothing. But God coming to me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Coming to God honest. God, I'm ashamed of myself. God, to see how ungrateful I am in 20 places. Get to a place to start to say the things the way God needs to hear it sometimes. Don't try to polish up nothing before God. God don't need polish. God eyes to see your thoughts and your intents. So you just ask God, God, I can't overcome this. I'm unable to do by myself. I come to you. I need your strength and your help. Without you, I can do nothing. I learned that lesson. I acknowledge that in your presence today. You get so with God, my brother, my sister. You will leave this place different. And you will not have to run back here for those same things. I guarantee you that. Because God is more willing to give you these things. I may stand up here and try to think with the right things to pray before God. And God may not even want me to even try to think with the right things to pray before you. Because my prayer is not going to help you. But God wants you who know. When he tell you that time, walk away from that, you didn't walk away. I don't even know that. Yet you will tell me the situation, and God will say, I talked to you 10 times, and you know how God talked to you 10 times. Yet, if I say a nice, eloquent prayer, it may sound good. But the thing is, in your heart, you know. You have to say, Lord, I don't want it in my life again. I want to be a lady, I want to be a young man. I want to be a representative, I want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And I say this morning, the bride don't want to go through these things. Bride don't want to have to come back in prayer line over and over. Bride don't want to be talking to God about 5 years in the same sin. Bride don't want to bring God into shame and a reproach and drag it in the dirt. Bride don't want them things. Bride getting fed up with hypocrisy and pretense. Bride is coming to the place. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I'm wretched. And the message all these years, look what I'm bringing forth. Sour grapes. I'm a degenerate vine. Lord, you can change me. That's what we need to get through. I guarantee you get your heart, so God will help you, my brother, my sister. Because God knows your heart, God knows His desire for you. To you who have spoken to here at this altar, you believe these things, you receive these things before God and God's presence. Lift your hand as I will pray. Lord Jesus, I stand with these, my children, these whom you let me birth by the word. You said, feed your sheep and feed your lambs. And God, knowing that I too pass this way, and I know how many times, Lord, we tried to say sweet prayers. I know many times until I was willing, oh God, to really get them before you and grovel in tears and snot and everything else, Lord, crying out, pleading for you to take the filth out of my life as a young man. But Lord, you didn't disappoint me, Father, because your ear is not deaf. Your ear is attentive to a sincere prayer. Like with Samson, he looked at his life, he saw the shame, he saw the reproach, and he said, Lord, let me die with these Philistines. I am worthy to live. I bring a shame upon you, Lord. But only this once, oh God, that you can avenge me. And Lord, he saw the price that he had to pay. He didn't try to compromise. He didn't try to influence you to pay a lesser price. He didn't try to negotiate. Like if he, Lord, God didn't have the problem. God, he just asked. And you would even give him the audience. And even tolerate and bear with him to finish his prayer. And let him express his willingness to die and pay the price. Because of the depths of sorrow he had come to. And so, dear God, today we have young people standing here. As Paul told Timothy, flee youthful lusts. This is the time of their life.
This is the time when they are so vulnerable. This is the time, dear God. Lord, when we need to be more involved with them, and had we been more involved, and had we been more caring, and had we been more willing, making ourselves available, and had we been understanding why you pass us the way you pass us, we could be a shield to them. Lord God, we could be a bar around them. We could be a hedge, dear God, to them, Father. But oh God, even we in our own selves, how we have found ourselves standing afar off, watching, comparing, criticizing, putting down. Not many times forgetting, Lord, the kind of carnality was in some of us. Dear God, I pray today, Father, that you are God who is rich in mercy. Lord, no matter what their sins have been, you said, though your sins be as scarlet, though it have the worst of sin, yet we know the only unpardonable sin is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. God, they are here today because in their heart, your word contacted something that make them look at themselves again, that reminded them of where they used to be. Things that they had forgotten, that they let the enemy steal from them. Places that they found themselves down dark roads, seeking pleasure. Some are faced with battles and they don't know how to deal with it. Temptations in this present time. They're not skillful in warfare. They don't fully understand the tactics and the strategy of the enemy. Lord, I pray that you will be gracious to them today also. All of us, Father. Help me, dear God, as I see the challenges rising greater, as I see the demand becoming stronger. Lord, the more I see, Lord, how incapable and how insufficient I am, Lord, as one human being. I see, Lord God, even my own self, so many places, so many things. Lord, and I would like to consider myself as I evaluate myself in the light of your word and feel I could be more stronger in them places, more sensitive, more willing. Sometimes I feel I'm so slow to act. Sometimes I feel I'm so indecisive at times. Sometimes I don't know how to judge these things, Lord. Sometimes when I think, Lord God, I need to stand up and watch, it's time that I should step in. Sometimes when I step in, it should be the time I should stand up and watch. Lord, I realize, dear God, that with each passing day, no matter how many years we are serving you, that don't account and that don't equate with the situation. It's having your mind, Lord. It's being available to you. It's being close to you. It seems like life is so filled with activities. Sometimes we need to be shut away in your presence. Lord, help us all today. In every way, Father. Some of our sin might be physical. Some of our sin might be spiritual. Some of our sin, Lord, we can't even see it. Because we look so moral and upright that we think of sin as something carnal and fleshly and sensual. Help us to look deep within ourselves. Give us the eyesight that can look beyond our own concept and our own self-estimation. Give us the eyes of the word that don't judge by status or give respect because of whether we have money or whether we have some form of security or whether we are attractive or handsome or whether we have clothes or whether we have something that some people in the world see as successful, whether we have education or something. When we look at it, we don't want to see fear. Because we can be full of money and have fear, Lord. God, we can be full of clothes and have jealousy. We can be full of knowledge of the Bible and be impatient and arrogant, proud. Lord, we don't want these things, Father. Search us, dear God. Lord, not just because we just want to feel delivered,
But we know we'd be in better condition to give more help to people who need it. You'd be able to work more effectively through us. Sometimes we want to redeem people and we realize we're not rich enough. We're not able enough to redeem them. We're willing, though we're willing, Lord. And though we're related, we realize we're not able. We know to redeem, we not just have to be willing and we don't just have to be related, we have to be able. We have to have sufficient faith. We have to be able to feel what they feel and enter into them, Lord, identify with them and live for them. And sometimes we're not willing to sacrifice that much, Father. God, take us into a deeper love. Because we realize maybe it's a lack of love where they shut us out from them places. Sometimes we have great knowledge, and great knowledge can't take us to them places. Less knowledge and more love will take us so deep. We see more done for your kingdom and more done for your people. Help us, Father. Help us today, dear God. Everyone that stand here, let them find that grace. Let them find that sincerity. Let them find that honesty. That truthfulness from the inward parts. God, you don't have to make a whole bunch of noise. Hannah wasn't making no noise. But she's a woman of a sorrowful heart and agony. And Lord, you can even understand the groanings and the utterance of her spirit. And you responded back. And you changed a barren life into a fruitful life. Because you could identify with your agony and pain. Lord Jesus, it's a Gethsemane for many here. It's a Peniel for many here. Oh God, it's a Zarephath for many here. God, I pray, Father, this purging, this purifying the metals will come, dear God. This release, this hold of the enemy. Father, I pray and trust that God, their confession is acceptable in your sight, even with my prayer. That God, I can stand here now in confidence in your presence as your servant and as a shepherd and tell that devil to take his filthy hands to move back, because these are the sheep of God, these who desire to make the wrongs right, these who have come to the fountain drawn from Emmanuel's veins, these who have come with tears of repentance. These who have come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. These who have come to expose the enemy, to separate from sin, to resist the devil. Because they feel your power. They've heard your voice calling them. And they know they have no peace outside of surrendering to you. And so they come today, Father. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, you who have deceived and manipulated, you who have exploited, you who have lured and seduced, you who have lied and influenced these children of God. You who desire to make them slaves and shut them up in your prison, to defile them and desecrate them as you took their vessels from the house of God, take them down into Babylon to desecrate them. But same as God never let them vessels stay there, and same as God came down in judgment, and same as God shook that place from its very foundations, brought every vessel back into the house of God. So today, you know, devil, that these that you have tried to take into captivity, they stand apart from you today, renouncing their hidden things of dishonesty, the things of darkness, separating from sin. Coming in humility and sincerity and making confession, you cannot hold them any longer. We, the church of the living God, come against you And we rebuke you. We command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to turn these loose. Take your filthy hands off of them and set them free. As we, the Church of the Living God, standing upon the revealed Word of God with faith in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the authority invested in us, and by and through the members of the bride, you'll finish this work. We claim every one of these that stand here confessing their sins and calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. May you depart from this place, thou evil spirit. Lord Jesus, may you give strength, Father. Like when that good Samaritan found that man wounded, needed oil and wine, put him upon a beast, chop his own clothes and bandage him, bring him to the inn where he knew he could be ministered back into a condition of restoration. So, Father, we pray today that, Lord, you would pour the riches of your grace and mercy down into their hearts, that they could have that blessed peace that comes from sins forgiven and wiped away, and the sweet peace of God that passeth all understanding. God will be shed abroad into every heart where true repentance and sincere confession have been made. Would you do it, Father? Dear God, you'll be able to look back to this spot and know, Father, that they don't have to walk with their head down anymore. Lord, they can receive this pardon. Knowing a pardon is not a pardon, it's the acceptance of pardon. But God, in the realization of what is happening here, even now, and what these things mean and the value it has in your sight according to your word, and the basis of your infallible truth, they can receive this pardon and they can walk away from this place, Lord, with a new lease on life, knowing that mercy will rule their life. They should be condemned, but you are turning them free, Father, that they may go and sin no more, that they may live for you. And all those sitting in the congregation crying out in their hearts, repenting before you, let it be applied to everyone that is in need today, I pray. And Father, in this hour, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is our plea. Close today, close today. Savior, let us walk close to you. Nothing between our soul and our Savior. Be our rock and our hiding place. Be our refuge, O God. Hide us in the secret of your pavilion. Bring us under the shelter of your wings, in the secret place of the Most High God. Set us upon a rock that we shall not be moved. Plant us by the rivers of water, O God, where our leaves will not wither, and we bring forth our fruit in due season. May you grant it, O God. May you grant it today as your servant, together with these servants of yours, together with this church. We stand here, Lord, the elect lady and her children. And God, we're standing in the gap for these. We are praying the prayer of faith, holding our token with confidence, waving it over these, Father, with unwavering faith, and our blessing would come, will be made secure. And they'll rise up from this ash and they'll go on forward to serve you. Grant it, Lord. Grant it the day we ask. Grant it, dear Jesus. Grant it, Lord, we pray. In that precious and wonderful name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God be with you. Purpose in your heart, I will live upright. I'll be true in my conviction. And God will bless you. And God will send His Holy Spirit to you. Because God promised these things. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Know that He is a merciful God. Know He is the living God. And know He is interested in every one of you. We lift our hands to Him. And just in thankfulness in your heart, tell Him you love Him. Lord, I love You. I appreciate You. He's so good to us. He's our everything. He's everything to us. Without Him, we can do nothing. He's our all in all. We love You, Jesus. We praise You today. We thank You from a sincere heart. With a grateful heart, oh God. Truly a God rich in mercy. A God rich in grace. We thank You, Lord. Turn around, be your brothers and friends. God bless you. I pray for you. Amen. God be with you. My brother would come.
God have His way this evening. Let go and let go. That's all.
Let go and let go. Is wonderful. Let go.
Spirit speaking such a clear way, showing us our bad paths, showing us where we need to overcome. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. We just bow our hearts as we just offer a word of prayer of dismissal. Great eternal God, how thankful we are in our hearts, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Come so close to us, speak to our hearts, Lord. And Lord, we bow our hearts on the dust of the ground from whence you came, Lord. Knowing, Lord God, that you are mindful of us, Lord. Knowing, Lord, that you care for us, Lord. You think of, Lord, your great love that draws salvation plan, Lord. Your grace that brought it down to man, Lord, Father. How we feel in our hearts, how thankful we feel, Lord. Lord God, we look at ourselves and we see the flesh, Lord, many times. Lord, act up, Lord, and in our spirit, Father, and we see that make-believer, Father. But Lord, we know in our soul, is either faith or doubt, Father. And we want to dwell, is there we want to serve you from, Lord, in our soul, Father. Lord, into that till court, Father. Dear God, we commit our lives into your hand this evening. Father, may you continue to bless your servant, Lord. May you continue to outpour your spirit in his life, Father. Lord, as you continue to minister to our hearts, that we, Lord, could be strengthened and nourished, Father. Oh God, bless you in a special way. Remember his family also, Lord. Bless them too, Lord Jesus. Then, Lord, as we are about to leave and not from your presence, we ask, may your Holy Spirit go with us, Father. May your angel go before us, Lord. Grant us traveling mercy as we go, Lord. Along the highway, Lord. Oh God, protect us, Father. We thank you in advance, Lord. For we ask in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise his name. Oh, as I shall usher you out, if you feel you want to leave, amen. Usher will do that, usher you out, but if you don't remain back and give God thanks, you're all well to do so, amen. Learning to lean, learning to lean. Hallelujah.
I am learning to lean. I am learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Yeah, my power. To lean on. to lead. I'm learning to lead. I am learning to lead on surely is thine. Surely is thine. Touch me and heal me. Touch me and heal me. Savior divine. Savior divine. Of thy own will, Lord.
With wings and eagles. Thank you.